Views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Oh, we're getting closer. Closer to Monday night. We're going to have to sift through all those Sunday games before we get to the Patriots, but I am pumped, jacked, ready to go, and supposedly so is Albert Haynesworth. I saw a tweet from Eric Scalavino just a little while ago saying that a sleeping giant is about to awaken.
Yes. So. Haynesworth spoke in the locker room for about 5 or 6 minutes. Very, very interesting, and nothing overly newsworthy. It's more reiterating of what he's been saying periodically when he has spoken so far, but he is very excited. You can see the excitement in his face. Yeah. You can see his excitement with his teammates, with the way things are done here. He's even asked a question about the captains and how it's not like in other places that I've been where the captains, you know, act like they're above everybody else. That's not the way it is here. We feel we can talk to Gerard and Vince about anything that we want. And we should probably mention, Andy, why don't you rattle down the official six captains.
Captains for your 2011 New England Patriots. Tom Brady, Logan Mankins, Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, Matthew Slater.
That's the big surprise.
And Devin McCourty.
Yeah. So
I spent a long time talking with Matthew Slater. He is a great guy. And the best part about him is there is no... He's humble and it's real. He knows what he is. You know, I asked him, is it a weird week for you? You know, you may have been fighting for a roster spot at this point last week, and now you're a captain of the New England Patriots. And he said, may have been fighting for a roster spot. I was fighting for a roster spot. And yeah, it's been strange. Now I'm a captain. And he talked about calling his dad, Jackie, Hall of Famer. And
right. Good
he's
for
just,
him.
He's just real.
Well,
he's just legit.
Like we said, we always talk about, you know, guys fighting for a job, and you know, he literally was and earned a spot.
Yes.
During the preseason on this team.
And the best part is, I asked him, you know, about being a special teamer, and he had the big plays this preseason. Does that give you a taste? And you know, maybe you'd like to go more in that direction. And now I could be playing in this league 25 years, do whatever I want to play special teams. I don't like special teams. I love special teams. It's he's talked about the one-on-one battles, and just it's pure football to him, clearly.
Well, Larry Izzo made a pretty good career out of
it. He talked a lot about him, watching him his rookie year. He now feels like he's ready to take that role of that kind of assistant special teams coach and organize meetings and know everybody else's responsibility on every team, and raved about his relationship with Scott O'Brien, said he may have saved my career by coming here and showing me how special teams are supposed to be played. I mean, just raving about everything. Most interesting thing, I didn't know. Now, maybe I'm behind on news. He said, you know, we finished first overall in the league in special teams last year, and we want to do it again. I didn't know that they were the best special teams.
What does that mean, though?
Is this like by the Rick Goslin rules or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I don't really think they have official rankings for that.
They're so separate. But anyway, we got a lot to talk about that. We all got a chance to preview the Bill Belichick documentary, which blew me away. We'll talk about that. We got our picks coming up at the end of the show. So our first week of picks. And who won last year?
Me.
I did.
No, I think it was
me.
I
won.
I think we all did.
No, I won the spread, right?
All right. I'm not going to keep track anymore.
Anyway. We're going to do that at the end of the show. So it's a big show coming up. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address if you want to email us. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Call, email, do whatever you want. Get involved. We love our live listeners. Not that we don't love our people who download, the 100 and X thousand that download the show. They're important too. But the people who listen live drive the show.
No question.
We can't really do the show without you, the people who listen live. So,
and if you don't like emailing in and having to deal with Fred misreading your emails, you can always send tweets in to the better readers here in the studio, which is at PFW Paul or at Jumbo Heart. We'd be happy to bring a little pregame social, like interactive.
I don't read so good. I don't know. I don't know if I'm the guy for that.
By the way, you start eating. Even if you can't listen live, and I can understand between 12 and 2 if you're busy. But you know,
we're unemployment. There's like 11 million unemployed out there. Listen,
you know, we're doing the show from 12 to 2. Email anyway. Right. Webradio@patriots.com with your thoughts so that we can read them during the show.
It's like a cold email, a cold call.
Yeah. So, you know when we're doing the show.
And then you mock them, by the way, because you read it at 12:45 and they say, I don't know if you've talked about the captains. You go, yeah, actually we have. You mock them when they do that.
No, I'm not you. Okay.
You're right. You're fat. Yeah.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Me, according to the woman at Men's Warehouse, V-shape.
Okay, T-Rex.
Who was trying to sell Andy $600 suits.
I just wish she was hot. She wasn't. What? Unless you're listening.
That's his new name, T-Rex. He's got, you know, that chest that sticks out. Yeah. The little arms that come out from the chest.
And the little legs, too.
Right.
Look at you. Look at you.
You have shorter legs, shorter arms, and fatter shoulders.
All right.
Yeah, Barney Rubble.
Can I do one personal thing real quick before we get into the meat of the show?
Should have done that before the show.
No, not that. And I don't feel much gas today, so I think you're safe.
I'll be looking forward to that calzone you have.
Got
later.
My can
got
of deodorant
spray ready. No, we have you always note that we have listeners that know about everything if you ask a question or
right, no matter what the subject is.
I'm in the market for a new digital camera point and shoot. I need some advice. Anyone who's out there that has a really good one,
how much you want to spend?
I'd like to not break the bank. $250, $300, somewhere in that range. I don't need an SLR. I want something that my wife can take out at my son's soccer game. Click, decent zoom, decent picture, but no frills. No, I don't want to adjust any shutter speeds. This, that. I just want to point and click.
All right, we'll get
advice on digital cameras.
Okay. Web Radio, he can talk, but
I bring up a camera and we got to move on.
It's the top of the show. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. I feel like I've been buried this morning. What was going on? You had open locker room?
We did.
Okay.
Pretty active open locker room.
We talked about Albert Haynesworth talking. Who else was in Matthew Slater? Who else talked?
Captain Gerard Mayo spoke, a little bit about the honor, a little bit about the young guys being named captain, and then talked a lot about the Dolphins. Big on Reggie Bush, talking about, you know, take a swing pass, take it to the house 90 yards. Said he looks like he's been running really hard this preseason, like he is, you know, between the tackles and more of a power-based runner as well as what he can do as a dynamic athlete. I thought interesting, just a note out of the locker room, A.J. Eads, the new linebacker, formerly a Dolphin, now a Patriot, came in the locker room with a huge hooded sweatshirt pulled way over his face, went straight over to his locker with his head down the whole time, grabbed his bag, and went straight out. And as he left the locker room, took the hood off, so was clearly avoiding.
Clearly
the
didn't
media,
want to talk.
Didn't
to
want
us.
To talk. I don't know if that's just because he played for the Dolphins and Bill doesn't want him.
I don't know if that means he's still here.
That's a possibility, I guess.
That's a fair point. Based
picking
on the
up
way,
his bag to get cut.
Based on the way this week is gone, that's a fair point.
Right. I wouldn't rule it out, but who else?
McCourty,
Mayo.
What did McCourty,
Slater.
What did McCourty have to say about being?
I didn't
captain?
Hear. I didn't hear McCourty. I think Eric might have gone over to him. I was in on Haynesworth, as I mentioned, Freddie.
Yeah.
You know, continue to talk about killing the quarterback and doing that kind of stuff. Talked about how the scheme just didn't fit him. Didn't really want to get into specifics about why the scheme didn't fit him last year, but. And listening to him talk, I think more important than the scheme fitting him was this environment seems to fit him better. I think he feels more comfortable with Belichick.
How ironic is that?
And all
the guy
that.
Who didn't want to play and like popping off and not in condition is more comfortable in the but strict it, Bill Belichick
well, it, but
environment.
But it's not that. It's how it started. It got off on the wrong foot with Shanahan.
Fred's absolutely right on this one. He really and I don't. I'm not saying that Shanahan.
As of now.
I'm not saying that Shanahan was wrong. Because I think Haynesworth was wrong, but that's what it was all about. He didn't like the way it all came about.
But wait, let's not pretend his only issues were in Washington.
No, and that's true. And he
people
actually
feared him in Tennessee.
And he
people
said that
teammates were legitimately afraid of him in Tennessee.
And he made
stomped
mention
on guys' heads. He was a problem at Tennessee University.
Yeah,
I think it's funny that he's
that's
and
that's
it's easy
a good
to say
point.
In the honeymoon period here.
And just so
of
you
the
know,
first month.
He mentioned that he only had problems in Washington. He didn't have problems in Tennessee. That's not accurate. He was suspended in Tennessee for conduct detrimental and not just for stomping on a guy's head, which, as despicable as it was, I sort of separate from everything else.
I don't
because
care.
That was a heat of the moment thing.
Right.
Okay? That was a heat of the moment. It was a despicable act. I'm not defending it. But to me, that's different than refusing to go to defensive meetings because you don't respect your coach and the stuff that he did last year with the conditioning run and all that. Those are two entirely different things to me. But he
or
had
teammates just fearing him.
He had some issues in Tennessee, and we've had enough Tennessee teammates say as much. So, I have certainly some fears and trepidation when it comes to him. But he is saying and doing all the right things right now. He's being very cordial. And I don't care about what he does to the media. I'm talking about how he's ingratiating himself in that locker room. He's doing the right things in that locker room. What he does with the media is completely irrelevant. But you can see that he has respect for Vince Wilfork and Sean Ellis. He talked about he played with Ellis at Tennessee. He played with Vince at the Pro Bowl. He knows the, and he played with Andre Carter last year in Washington. He knows these guys. And he feels comfortable with these guys. So, to me, that's a very positive sign heading into the season. He had genuine excitement in his voice and on his face today talking about Monday night.
That's what I love. I love hearing that.
He did. And it's not. It was genuine excitement. He was chomping at the bit.
I think the only person that shouldn't love hearing that is Pouncey from Miami.
That's true.
That's another good point.
You know, but, no, that's great news. Now, did Bill talk today? Was there a press conference? No press conference today. Okay, so that makes that easy. So we can get right into it. Let's get right into the email, shall we? Should we do that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Could you do that for me, please?
Sure.
Thanks.
I think. Oh, I did want to mention. I mentioned at the top of the show. I got a chance. Paul got a chance. I don't know if Andy's had yet to watch the first half of the Bill Belichick documentary on NFL Films and first. Right off the bat, kudos to NFL Films. The production of it, you know, everything about it, the editing, just unbelievable. And they always do a good job, but this was just blew me away.
Not too much slow motion for you? You always criticize
right.
them for that.
Right.
Falling back on slow motion.
A little bit cliche. But I just thought that, you know, and maybe it's because the subject matter was so close to, and it was just riveting to see it. But I think Paul said it this morning, no matter who the subject matter is, they just did a fantastic job with this thing.
Yeah, this Patriots fans are going to love it because it's us. It's Belichick and it's the Patriots, but this is so phenomenally well done that it would be captivating regardless of who the subject was. More so, obviously, because it's a guy that you don't ever get to see his personality. But I can't wait to see the second part.
Yeah.
I really can't.
That's how good the first part was. And there's some, I don't want to spoil it for people, because I want them to see it firsthand for themselves and not really hear, you know, what you saw in the trailer, obviously you're going to see, but there's some other stuff in there that I think is even better than what you saw in the trailer. And, I don't know if we know more about Bill Belichick now that we've seen this, but it's just unbelievable. Just really, really intriguing stuff. And I can't wait for everybody to have seen it so we can talk about it openly. Because, again, I don't want to ruin it for people. So that's coming up on September 15th on the NFL Network. I guess maybe we'll have it up on the website after that, you know, right after it airs, but I'm not sure.
If you don't know, who would know?
Well, I don't know if we're allowed to.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought we did that with all NFL films.
Well, stuff. This was something special, and they may want people to, you know, go to NFL Network to watch it.
Yeah, but he's our coach.
I understand.
When the second one airs, put them both up,
right.
And then beg for forgiveness later.
Right. Just really, really good stuff. Congratulations, NFL Films. All right. So now we can get to the emails at Web Radio.
Quick question, okay. NFL Films wise.
Yeah.
Steve and Ed Sable. Steve, well, no, Ed's the old.
Ed's the father.
Ed's the father, Steve's the son.
And Steve's the sick one, right?
Right now, yes.
Well, brain tumor, whatever.
Well, they're both sick, right?
Well,
but the father's old.
Ed's right. In his 90s. He's yeah.
Who? And everybody always says, love NFL Films, Ed and Steve Sable. Well,
what's
happen? Next? Who's next in line? Where is it going? Yeah. And who is going to continue the process, carry the torch? Because that's important.
Is there a younger brother?
I don't know.
Yeah. I know that there's some bickering going on between NFL Network and NFL Films.
And some people have already said it's sort of been compromised with the union of NFL Network. Like the NFL Films has sort of been compromised, for lack of a better term.
You know, and this is the stuff that I hear, that Network, you know, criticizes Films for wasting money. They spend too much time on stuff like this. You know, the documentaries are a little dated. You know, the spiral of the ball through the air, and the Network guys are like, catch it already. You know, they're more TV, quick shots. Nothing should be on a screen for more than 5 seconds or 3 seconds. You know, it's all that. And so there's the different cultures that are clashing, and it comes down to money, too.
NFL Network should shut the F up. I mean, NFL Films has been around for 40 years, and everybody, even people who hates the media like Bill Belichick, raves about NFL Films. When you reach that level, NFL Network, where you're valuable, where you're not just an albatross around the league's neck financially, maybe then you can pop off. But until then, have some respect for the people that came before you. That's ridiculous.
NFL Films, and I know, Andy, you tease me all the time, you know, going back to the 40s with Paul and stuff, but that's why I mean, as a kid, I couldn't get enough of watching those things. I know you make fun of me. I didn't actually see them. I wasn't around in the 60s when Vince Lombardi was coaching, but I know all those clips by heart because I've seen them so many times. And to me, the history of the game, that's one of the reasons why football is so special. The other sports don't have that history on film like that.
It's true.
The way NFL Films did. They were so far ahead of the curve, and what Ed Sable did back in the 60s just didn't exist in the other sports.
It's not enough to have highlight reels, because obviously Major League Baseball had highlight reels, but it's the music. It's the editing.
It's the mic'd up.
The production value.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Vince Lombardi saying, what the hell is going on out there?
Right.
I mean, I'd never heard Vince Lombardi
Hank
speak
Stram
other than that. Hank
Stram was mic'd up on the sideline of Super Bowl IV.
Right.
When the AFL...
Now it's like cutting edge that Fox mics up managers or something. It's like, woo, well, the NFL's been doing it for 4 decades.
Think about that. It's 1970. It was the 69 season, I believe.
Right.
It was 1970 Super Bowl.
Right.
In the AFL, that was the second of the...
Jan Stenerud, Willie Lanier. Yeah.
So that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
We take all that for granted. And I think that the quick hits, I think Andy's right. NFL Network could learn a whole lot about entertainment value when it comes to the game of football from NFL Films.
Okay. Jeff from Melbourne, Australia writes in. He says, first off, when I get paid next week, I'll be taking out the online subscription. I think it's only fair, as I enjoy your podcast immensely. here in Melbourne. It's currently 2 a.m. the following day when you guys broadcast live, so the podcast is my only practical option. Anyway, I thought it was worth...
So who wins tonight, the Saints or the Packers?
We'll do that in our picks.
No, no, it's 2 a.m. the following day. I want him to let me know. I got a wager I'd like to make.
Anyway, I thought it was worth pointing out that the Miami away game last season was the game where the writers had lost faith, except Fred, and picked the Dolphins to win, except Fred. Your selection of Miami got the players' hackles up and contributed, in part, to probably one of the best performances last season. So as someone who is naturally superstitious, can Andy, Paul, and Eric please all pick Miami to win again to ensure a similar reaction in the locker room and thereby confirming victory? Jeff, that's interesting. But the real story there, it wasn't the picks that we did on the radio. If you get the issue of Patriots Football Weekly, the actual paper, every week, not just Eric, Paul, and Andy, but a lot of other writers make picks in our paper. And all of them, including Mike Reese and Mark Capella from 98.5 and Shalise Manzi-Young from The Globe.
Flip LaChance.
Flip LaChance, our penny. It all came out Miami. That was the amazing thing.
Got bad news for you. And if you believe it had any effect, across the board, Patriots for this one.
Right. So that issue that page of the newspaper got posted up on the door leading into the Patriots dining hall, I believe, and before the game. So that was the story there. It wasn't this show that
and it made Tully Bantakane want to beat us up in the hotel.
Really? Was he that mad?
He seemed to have an edge.
He was upset at us. I don't think he was that mad, but I think he was.
He had tone.
He had some tone there, and certainly that was the game after the game where I ran into Bill going from the press conference to the locker room, and I shook his hand. I said, just glad we could help. And he goes, yeah, absolutely, Paul. You're with us. Win or tie.
Well, I mean, I remember back in, it was during the Carroll years when...
And then Eric got mad because he didn't say Eric.
When Mike Reese picked the Jets to beat... It was Carroll's first year. And obviously there was a big feud going on with the Jets because Parcells had gone over there. And Mike Reese, who was a writer for PFW at the time, picked the Jets to win. And boy, did he get heat. And it turns out the Jets did win that game. And
bad news for him is he hadn't picked the Patriots to lose since then until Miami of last year, and it bit him in the butt again.
So you know, a lot of players gave Mike heat to the point where I think one or two players came by and said, look, I know it's your job. He was getting that much heat. And then
Henry Thomas told him, I heard you did a bad thing, little man.
Right.
And then he shook his hand after the game.
And then to make matters worse, The quarterback, Foley, was the quarterback that beat us. He was on the Jets at the time, so we put him on the cover after the game and said Broadway Foe, and to the point where Pete Carroll had me down in his office and said, this is just chicken ass. This is I said, look, this is what we do. You know, so, but it was tough on that team to lose to the Jets after that. So we've had our episodes with things like that. It's tough when you do picks and you're the in-house people, you know. You got to pick them like you see them.
And to alleviate fears of the emailer there, it doesn't matter that we all picked the Patriots to win this week in terms of motivation, because Bill's still going to tell them that no one thinks they're going to win. He's going to tell the players that we all picked against them. He just won't have that visual to put up on the door that he had last year when we actually did pick against them. So I wouldn't worry about it.
No. I think they'll be sufficiently motivated going down there.
Haynesworth had a funny thing about that. Someone asked him a question about, you know, Monday Night Football, and are you excited to get out there in front of everybody and sort of, you know, your return? He's like, well, and he kind of chuckled. He goes, you know, I've played, you know, you're guaranteed 16 games, 16 appearances every year, and I've never had one that wasn't on TV, so... You know, it's just, you know, really, I mean, every game is nationally televised in the NFL. I mean, Monday night used to be a really, really special thing.
Right.
But I don't think it's as special anymore.
No.
Not in this age when you get extensive highlights of every single
I think it
game.
Still is to them, though.
Yeah, well, it wasn't
to the
Haynesworth.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Haynesworth.
I think it is because they know other players are watching them.
The Sunday games, no one's watching. None of your contemporary players are watching.
That's true.
Yeah, they see the highlights. They watch SportsCenter, but everybody's watching this.
Yeah, I think you're right there. James in Brisbane writes in, another Australian listener. Hey, guys, the NFL's back, and I'm really excited. I found the Patriots Android app on the market the other day. It am loving it. When the work situation improves, I'll re-up my subscription to the paper for sure. Anyway, I'll make it quick since I know you have the picks to do. A question for you today. Peyton Manning has been ruled out of week one. Now, if you were the Colts, how long would you give him to recover before you shut him down for the season? If I was in charge and he can't return by loss number five, then I would put him on IR. The way I see it, he's likely to go something in two as a starter, and seven losses would be enough to knock them out of the playoff contention. And at his age, there's no point rushing him back, especially when you're dealing with a neck. Since he is dealing with a neck problem, how likely do you think it is that this could force him into retirement just as a percentage? All the best. Can't wait for the pregame social and the Dolphins, and F the Fins.
I have no idea, but my decision would be based just on health. I mean, whatever the doctors say.
Well, you know, Ursay tweeted out that
a while.
It's going to be a while.
There's reports that his season is over, that he had a second procedure either Sunday or Monday, and he's done for the season. Those reports were from an indie radio station.
It's really bad news. And even if he comes back,
it stinks. It's just like Brady in 08. It stinks.
Yeah.
But it stinks. But, you know, I don't want Philip Rivers to be out for the year. I don't want Aaron Rodgers to be out for the year. I want to watch the best players play. You know, and it stunk in 08, even though the Patriots, you know, were able to have an exciting season. It stunk without Brady out there.
Yep.
And, you know, that Colts game that we look forward to so much every year, I mean, you're not going to look forward to that. Unless they stun us all and, you know, overcome it, which I don't think anybody envisions, although I don't think they'll be quite as bad as most other people do. The over-under was set at five games, I think, without him, and everybody's saying under.
Wow.
I personally don't think it'll be that much of a games? Yeah. I don't think it'll be that much of a train wreck.
Well,
I don't think they're a playoff team without Peyton Manning, but I don't think they're a 2-14 team either.
If let's just say he came back in week six, and it being a neck injury, if you're a player and you've lined him up, do you think twice about, wow, this could be the hit that really damages him? It's a little different than a knee, or because it's a neck and it's spinal. And
I think you do after you hit him. Once you're standing over him, after you've already sacked him, and if he stays down for an extra half second, I just paralyzed Peyton Manning. But I don't think you think it at the snap of the ball when he's dropping. But you can't think that way.
Yeah.
Now, Andy, you mentioned that it would be strictly based on health, and I would agree to an extent. If he were 100% and the prognostications for doom and gloom end up being accurate, if they're 1-6 and he's 100%, I'm not playing him. I'm going to let him sit out the whole year and let him, you know.
Maybe if it's that dramatic.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Maybe draft Andrew Luck.
If the prognosticators are right and they can't win any games without him, wouldn't that be unbelievably? Well, that's what a lot of people are talking about on the radio now. Wouldn't that be unbelievably ironic if they bought him? I mean, they need a successor soon. You know, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, they need the Aaron Rodgers soon. And wouldn't it be ironic if this team that everybody says will completely disappear when Peyton Manning retires, they end up getting Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck turns into the next Peyton Manning? Or, you know, some reasonable fact.
Sam Bradford, because the next Manning is already Sam Bradford.
Okay, Sam Bradford, Matthew Stafford.
That would be very Boston Celtics with Glenn Bias, except
very much so.
Hopefully Andrew Luck won't die.
Yeah, until their guys started dying on them, that would be very Celtics luck. Like, because the Celtics had incredible luck from the early 60s through the late 80s.
So it's interesting to think about. You know, I was thinking about that, the run for the toilet bowl this year. You know, who is going to be the team that gets to draft Andrew Luck? And, you know, if you're the San Francisco 49ers, for example, or the Jacksonville Jaguars, you got to be thinking about that if you're not a player. The 49ers are a definite
factor in that. But here's another thing. Like, the Carolina Panthers will be in that, but they're not going to take Andrew Luck. I can't imagine. You can't take a quarterback number one overall 2 years in a row.
Right.
You never know.
But, you know, so you just wonder how teams approach a season knowing – a future franchise quarterback could be, you know, in line. And so you wonder.
I'll also be interested to see if Luck can maintain his status, because we've seen so many of these projected number one overall picks lose something. And then there's questions and the this and the that. And it'll be interesting to see if he can maintain his unquestioned number one overall pick. He's got to be the guy, franchise quarterback.
Right.
He had a good start the other day. He made some nice throws the other day. I didn't see the game. I saw the highlights. He made some nice throws.
And I also liked in that game, they played San Jose State, so it wasn't really much of a,
right.
a matchup, but they didn't put up plastic numbers. He didn't throw the ball very much.
Right.
And I liked that. You know, they
right.
they did what they needed to do to win the game. They got him some work, and like Andy said, he made some plays and made some throws, but they didn't make him go out there and throw seven touchdowns and say, oh, look at our guy. He's the Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
Which a lot of teams do that stuff.
Yeah,
I guess the Ohio State coach got some heat from Akron, although most people were making fun of the Akron coach for whining about it. I guess Ohio State
they did
won like 42-0 or something, but I don't know. I didn't.
Vrabel
see
was probably making fun of the Akron coach.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Paul writes in: did I go to sleep last night and wake up in an alternate universe? This article in Wall Street Journal ranks the Buffalo Bills as the best-looking team in the NFL and the Chiefs as the worst according to facial structure. It also ranks Tom Brady as 0.5% less attractive than his wife. When I went to sleep last night, these stories were written about cheerleaders. What's happening with you guys in the media?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't write about that kind of stuff.
No.
Although I might put it in first down. Where's that article?
I think they did that last year. I think it's some type of
yeah.
program that
they did it
analyzes
for just
facial structure.
They
yeah.
they had
and
certain
Roethlisberger
things.
Was over Brady.
I don't remember the specifics, but they had certain ways to
insult.
Monitor the faces of franchise quarterbacks and the better guys and winning and all that crap.
Right.
Little do they know, it's just about hair length.
Yeah.
When you have short hair, you win. When you have long hair, you lose.
Yeah.
See Brady, comma Tom.
It's dumb. We don't care. Dan the Bye Man writes in.
What about Eric? Eric will be by later.
He says, it seems like Bill Belichick really effed up this time. No matter how we want to fix it, there is no better blocking tight end available than those two we released. Another Gronk is a bad move, regardless if Dan is an experienced veteran. But Belichick will never admit that. I wonder, after he retires, will he ever admit his mistakes? I am, however, excited about the new season. If we solve the pass rush problem, we will do great with just two tight ends. What do you guys think? And by the way, why is Big Head so hyper all the time? Does he have some medical condition? He should be treated. If in the business world, we listeners are like clients. He always yells at clients.
Shut up.
Do you think it was a mistake what Belichick did with the eight men? And,
no.
And I guess he's including Algie Crumpler in there?
Well,
not re-signing
to say
him?
Crumpler, well, they cut him.
Yeah.
But who's to say Algie Crumpler's not coming back?
Yeah.
I don't think it was a mistake necessarily to not have three tight ends on the roster. I think it, in retrospect, it was a mistake to assume if you really liked Yateman and or Smith, to assume you were going to get them on the practice squad. Obviously, that worked out. I mean, I would have done the same thing. I think Bill was right. I think it was a logical assumption to assume that they would be making it through waivers. I'm stunned by that. And I mentioned this yesterday. I think that specific position, the third tight end, the blocking tight end, is not all that valuable. I think it's a dime a dozen position in the NFL. Everybody has a slappy that they can put out there as the third tight end. I cannot believe that two rookies, one a fifth-round pick and one undrafted lacrosse player, were claimed off waivers. I can't believe that. Now, if you had told me, you know, 8 weeks into the season that someone signed Willie Yateman off the Patriots practice squad because they needed somebody, then I could say, oh, well, you know, maybe they had some injuries. They needed, you know, they had a need. Claimed off waivers out of the chute before the start of the regular season. I don't know how Andy feels about it, but I was really, really surprised by that.
Yeah,
you know,
that was
Brandon Tate getting claimed, I could see. He's an athlete. You know, someone thinks, I get him here. I could make him my returner. You know, Merriweather, Sanders, Will Height, those guys, they've played in the NFL. They have, you know, track records. Even Darius Butler, I wouldn't be surprised if someone did. I don't even know if anybody did it yet.
Carolina.
They already did?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I mean, those guys, they have somewhat of a track record. That's not surprising to me that people would take a flyer. Yateman and Smith getting claimed off waivers before the start of the regular season, to me, was very surprising. Hmm. And I don't blame Bill for rolling the dice there and seeing if he can get them through waivers and put one of them on the practice squad. He probably thought one of them is going to make it, and I'm going to be able to re-sign him.
But do you think that's because this year training camp was so short, no off-season?
I was just going to say that.
That the guy you're claiming isn't that much further behind the guy you have. Whereas in a normal year, you might say, I'll stick with my Jag because my Jag has been here 8 months and my Jag at least knows the system. This year, I can take a chance on a Jag because I got, you know, so I have a week to teach him. Well, I only had three to teach the other guy.
Yeah, I think in subtle ways, I think that whole no off season changed the whole signing, free agency. You know, if you really look down and did some real evaluation, you'd find what those, you know, differences were. But it just feels different, mm-hmm. and I think it is different. Let's see. Kevin lets me know that we have a lunch buyer today, and it's Dave from Jersey.
Love Dave.
He says the order hopefully got there. It did, and I'm enjoying my tuna sub.
Dave, you did a great job, too. This is an excellent lunch today.
It wasn't you that effed up. It was Rhonda who sent
chocolate
pink cookies again.
My question for Jake Steele, the pregame host, the writer in the sweater, and the monkey behind the glass, can you each give your objective opinion on one of the Pats' glaring weaknesses that will rear its head during the 11-12 upcoming season? I know this is a negativino, but it's also a real one. Thanks, and as the commercial that we always have here says, go Pats!
Go Pats!
Safety.
Okay, not what you think is a weakness, but a weakness that you think will rear its head, that will actually...
Safety.
You think it will
I think there will be bodies run through the safety position this year. I think the overall lack of depth in the secondary may rear its ugly head. You know, Devin McCourty started 16 games a year ago.
Right.
Can he do that again? You know, are there chances that guys get banged up? You don't have a lot to fall back on.
Yep.
You know, Bodden already started the year injured, missing practice time late in camp, missing preseason games. But the safety position in particular, you don't have anybody other than Chung, and you guys, you know, everybody believes that his style lends itself to injury. Can he stay healthy? Well, if you lose Chung, are you now starting Josh Barrett and Sergio Brown, or are you starting the guy you sign that week from some team and some system?
Sure.
I think safety's a concern, and the middle of this defense has been bad already in the past, and if it gets worse, what does that mean?
Yeah, I agree with Andy. I think that's a legitimate concern. I also think maybe not as dire as that safety spot, but wide receiver to me, potentially, not necessarily right now, potentially could be a problem. Because I really think at this point you might be seeing the end of those second and third options with Deion Branch and, mm-hmm. and Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah.
And if that happens, if they're not viable options, I heard one person today on radio suggest they could be around 47 catches and 35 catches. You know, if that's all they do, both of them, that might not be enough. Depending on that, it puts an awful lot of pressure to me on the tight ends.
Yes, but at least you have them.
Well, that's the thing. I agree with Andy. I think safety is number one.
And, yeah,
and,
safety.
And if it
did,
was,
did you just lose your own point counterpoint?
No,
victory.
We had to pick two.
And okay. whoa, who picked first?
I picked linebackers because I knew safety was one.
Oh, you're so full of it. You lie.
Oh, please, come on.
So you picked the losing argument, the wrong argument.
I like to challenge myself sometimes.
It's not a debate anymore.
I'll just be quiet. All right, just be quiet. Safety definitely is the one, but I would go with Paul. I'm not as worried because, as you mentioned, the tight ends. If we didn't have those tight ends, that would be up there on my list.
And even receivers in the system. I mean, I know we don't know what they are, but at least Julian Edelman's been here a couple. Think back to 06, right? Is the Caldwell,
right.
Gaffney, Gabriel.
Right.
I mean, think how bad it was then, and you didn't have tight ends that you really thought you could count on.
Yeah.
So I feel better about it than that.
And even in 09, and I don't want to give away something that was in the Bill Belichick documentary, but look at 09 and look at what they didn't have in 09, which is tight ends, and how it might have affected them. Let's see. Steven writes in, and he is in Miami. He says, I started listening this summer, and I wish I'd been listening for years. A couple questions. One is a fantasy one. Who to start? Tim Hightower against the injured Giants or Javid Best against the Bucks.
That's a funny question. I actually looked it up, Paul. After we spoke with, I don't know, what was the guy's name from Detroit that we talked to on the pregame social? Some writer from...
Tim Twentyman?
Yeah, Tim Twentyman. Raving about Best. You know, that he can be the every down back, that he's a dynamic playmaker. And I'm thinking, I remember him scoring touchdowns last year, but I remember thinking his numbers stink.
Oh, he had a terrible year.
And I went back and looked, and it was like 3-2 a carry before he got hurt. And even his catches were, like, his yards per catch was low. And I was thinking, but after I heard that guy, That guy had me ready to include best among, like, the offensive player of the year candidates. Yeah. And,
but he's been banged up this preseason, right?
Yeah. And that's a concern. And that's why everybody was so down that they lost LeSure, because it was going to be kind of a big and small combo. And now they, best is going to be the guy, kind of like Reggie Bush in Miami, going to be the guy. But, I would start him. I'm intrigued by him early in the year. I don't know. I mean, if he's healthy, I don't know what you said. He's banged up.
Well, he didn't play against us, and I know he's been, you know.
If he's healthy, I would start
him. He had a concussion, too, so I don't know. It's not like you can say, well, it was 3 weeks ago he was hurt. Well, concussion, we all know that could be the whole year. It could be one day. I mean, who knows?
But if I'm going to get any value out of him, if he can play, I'll play him now because he might have another concussion.
I'll go in Hightower.
And he also came out of the gates very quickly last year.
Yeah. Well, sort of. Touchdowns.
That's all the guy cares about.
Right.
It's fantasy. It's not about winning.
That's true.
Giants can sometimes be slow starters. Mike Reese made some predictions on ESPN yesterday. Quick over-under on them. 50 catches for Ocho.
Over.
Paul says under.
Under.
80 for Hernandez.
Under.
Under.
7 sacks for Haynesworth.
Under.
Under.
And 3, I know you guys are hesitant about having two Gronks on the team, but couldn't the inherent competition between the brothers push them to work harder? They've talked about comparing stats and trying to outdo each other, and while they might have fun and goof around at times, couldn't they push each other to play better?
Yes. That's the part I buy, legitimate competitive streak that could drive them, weight room, practice field, all that, but it's the other stuff, the hijinks. You know, they handled it right. Gronkowski talked yesterday about, right now he's not even my brother. He's a tight end that signed the week of the first game, and I have to try to help him get ready to play. He needs to try to learn the playbook. We need to make sure we're all on the same page, blah, blah, blah. We're not even brothers right now. We're just new teammates learning it on the fly here. And that's right. But at some point, you know, screwing around. As Bill says, hopefully there'll be some football talk in the tight end room.
So when the two of them are out there at the same time, is it the Gronk Form Nation?
Wah, wah. Did you know the NFL did away with all, what are they called?
First initials?
Yeah, initials.
Oh,
so it'll
jerseys.
Just say Gronkowski on their jerseys. Yeah. There's no more Rob and Dan, R and D.
Right.
Just had another one of those Hobby Mannix moments.
Did you also know we're wearing our throwbacks just once this year against the New York Jets?
I didn't know that. Okay.
Breaking news, Patriots.com. We're wearing our throwback jerseys just once, our alternate throwbacks.
I would assume that's the home game?
Yeah.
Okay. And Andy called it correctly, Packers-Pats Super Bowl. I think I picked that, too, in the paper.
You probably did. You picked everything I picked.
I'm sure you had half of that.
I said...
F you, Paul.
I said Gerard Mayo was going to be Defensive Player of the Year. You said Gerard Mayo was going to be Defensive Player of the Year. I said Robert Quinn's going to be Rookie of the Year. Eric said Robert Quinn's going
to
be Rookie of the Year.
Now, did you say win or just get to the Super Bowl? This was a serious... You're laughing.
Oh, me too. Somebody asked me what my Super Bowl was, and I put... Packers versus Patriots, and I just sent
you
that
didn't
out.
Put over?
No. And nobody asked me.
Well, I don't think in the paper we had to say who
Yeah, you
won.
Do.
Yes, we do.
Then I guess I said Patriots.
I said Packers over Patriots, I'll tell everybody.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I think the Packers are a pretty good football
team. Oh, they're
team.
Darn good.
I think I did, for the 17th time in the last, like, 19 years, I think I picked the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl.
They would be my number two. I just can't pick them. They scare me.
No.
In terms of picking them.
Listen, I don't want to have... The year that they actually go to the Super Bowl be the year that I
don't
pick them. No, it's absurd. I mean, I just think they have talent, and for whatever, you know, I don't even say for whatever reason. I think Norv Turner is a large reason.
He's still the coach.
They can't do it, but I'm going to go down with the ship yet again.
Let's see. Lucas writes that I'm here to discuss Ninkovich. He's been there for a while and knows the schemes well. I believe he could be real good this season. Seriously, he looks exactly like Mike Vrabel. Same face, same skin tone, even height, grows a beard. His first name is abbreviated to Rob, as it is for Mike. Eastern European last name, wears number 50, an outside linebacker.
Hairy back.
Seen through that angle, he's Mike Vrabel Jr. Last season, he recorded 38 tackles and 4 sacks. I believe this season he can reach 50 tackles and 8 sacks, especially when you take into consideration what he has in front of him this year compared to what he had last year. And remember, Vrabel only emerged at 28 years old with the Patriots, so I'm pretty sure that he's going to develop into a big defensive element. Do you guys agree with my point? Keep up the great work and the productive debates.
Fred, what do you think I'm going to say?
No.
You're wrong.
Oh, you think you can?
We looked this up. We talked in the offseason.
I'm going to say no.
About the 8 sacks, I'm going to say no. That, in this, especially with this scheme.
He is.
the whole Mike Vrabel thing is what I was talking about. At the same stage of his Patriots career, statistically, and Andy and I both talked about this during the offseason, we looked it up, eerie similar. The stats for Vrabel's first full year in the system and Ninkovich's year last year were almost identical. Now, I don't ever envision Rob Ninkovich being the kind of 12.5 sack guy that Vrabel turned into. I don't think there's as much growth potential there. But in terms of an all-around linebacker or all-around player, I don't think it's absurd to say that he can be a reasonable facsimile. He won't. I don't think he's going to have an 8-sack season this year, do you?
No. I don't. You know, as Wes Welker said, I don't know, a little gay.
He's not going to play every play.
I think Rob Ninkovich is a nice little defensive player. I think he's a backup caliber player. I don't think he's a starting caliber player on a very good defense. I think he's the best of what they have right now for that strong side linebacker spot. But, I mean, Mike Vrabel, to me, was a very, 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 very good defensive football player. He was not Hall of Fame, not, I mean, I know he's a one-time All-Pro, but he was very, very good. To me, Ninkovich isn't and won't be that.
Yeah, I don't think that he has the chance to develop into what Vrabel developed into.
Is he a smart? Because Vrabel was a smart player.
I think he's a pretty smart player, yeah. Yes, I do. Okay. I think he is a very smart player.
I don't think he's as physically gifted.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Pete in Hampshire, New England.
I don't think he's as big.
Hampshire, England, so, I mean.
I think the measurables might be the same, but the look of
he's not
big,
as, yeah.
He's not... Vrabel's a big, kind of swaggery badass.
You have longer arms?
Maybe, like yeah. Me and you. But I don't...
Arms.
No, I do. Want to measure?
Let's have an arm measuring contest. You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
And you'll like it.
Oh, shut up.
Pete says, one, when do we get an interview with Ma Gronk about her two guys on the Patriots? Is she traveling from Amherst, New York
last year
to the opener in Miami?
Should we have her live?
Right? We did a big feature with her last year.
She'll start headbutting people.
But I wonder if she will be here for the game because she says she's always on the road.
You think? Yeah. She'll be here. She'll be in Miami this weekend would be my guess.
I've read about the four Gronkowski boys playing tackle in her living room. Is Gillette Stadium still standing after Rob and Dan go at it?
So far, so good. I still haven't seen Dan other than yesterday. He didn't come in the locker room today that I saw. I saw him walk through and say he was coming back yesterday. Went to the training room.
Haven't seen him since.
Back. Right. Bill said.
I did see Rob today.
Oh, yeah. Rob was on. He's kind of like, what's the giant's name on Mickey Mouse? The guy who lives in the clouds.
Pete, right? Pete?
I don't know. That's who he reminds
me. That lives in the clouds.
Up the bean. He's in like all the Disney things.
Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yeah, that same giant is also part of like Mickey Mouse's show and stuff.
Yeah.
Willie?
Yeah, might be.
Gronkowski.
We're going to go to a break before we do. Andy, camera suggestion from Paul. The Nikon S8100 Coolpix. You can go online at Walmart website. It's cheaper than in the store. It's about $230. 12 megabyte pixel or megapixel, whatever it is, and it's HD video. So it's the Nikon S8100. All right. We got a lot more emails to come. Your phone calls at 508-298-0398. We'll be right back.
All right, fact. McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are great, but the sauce is like the razzle to the McNugget dazzle, the hip to the hop, the flip to the flop, and now there's new sauces, so zing is zestier, lips smackier, sweet, spicier, mouths waterier, and slams even dunkier.
Crispy, juicy, made with white meat chicken, and now four new sauces. Spicy buffalo, creamy ranch, honey mustard, and sweet chili. It's the biggest thing to happen to Chicken McNuggets since Chicken McNuggets happened. The simple joy of making ooze eyer. At participating McDonald's.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in progress. He could dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email. guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespectful.
No, that's not my fault. It's
you. That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault. Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
that's
the
not
email.
My fault. It's not my fault that I'm not talking about your talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in progress.
He's going to kill him. All right, welcome back to PFW in progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails. And then, of course, because it's the in-season schedule, the Patriots Playbook with John Rook follows us immediately afterwards from 2 to 4. And then it's the Pete Shepherd Show. With 4 to 6 with B-Low. Brian Lowe will do his fantasy lowdown.
I'm not the brightest guy in the
from
world.
From 4 to 5. So that's a little wrinkle in the Pete Shepherd Show on Thursdays. He'll be joined every Thursday by Brian Lowe, who will do the fantasy lowdown from 4 to 5. So get all your fantasy questions ready for Brian during that first hour with Pete. And, you know, he's a real fantasy wonk. I know in craft sports.
What's a wonk?
Like a expert.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
So if I call Bill a wonk, it won't be offensive?
If you call him an X and O's wonk, that would be accurate.
Bill, a wonk like yourself. Sounds very offensive.
But Crash Sports Productions, I know they all play fantasy in there.
Yeah, and B-Low loses.
So, but
yeah,
B-Low and I come in last.
He came in second last year. The winner was Robert Doyle last year, Bob Doyle. Was the winner.
Regardless, I would urge fans
who
to tune in.
Started his career with Patriots.com
yes.
And PFW.
Everybody starts their career here. Only Paul and Andy stay.
Right.
But I would urge people to tune in because B-Low was not happy that his show was sort of swallowed up by, literally and figuratively, the Pete Shepherd Show.
Hey,
and
Joe,
I think there could be some fireworks between those two.
No, I think it's going to be better for both of them. I think we need to get
B-Low feels.
We need to get fantasy in there. I think it makes.
Did you tell Pete that he has that segment that it's going to be about fantasy? Does he know that?
Yeah.
No. I think it will be better for both of them then.
And Pete was thinking, it's me, it's Brady. I didn't think
anything
was going to happen.
Pete said, you know,
when I walked into his
locker. He told me, he said, I'm not a big fantasy guy, so, you know, I'll let him do most of the talking, but I'll have some things to say.
Of course he will. Yeah.
Pete always has some things to say.
Oh, that's ridiculous, B-Low.
Had a chance. I taped the first segment of 3 points today with B-Low.
Oh, yeah?
This morning, yes.
Yeah.
Just
Patriots
B-Low?
Today, tomorrow.
Who's producing that this year?
Sorry, I don't know her name.
But you know what she looks like.
Yes, I do. very attractive.
Brett from Illinois says, Fred, Paul, and Andy, great shows. So happy to have you back 3 days a week, at least this week. Rook in the Queen was good yesterday, especially when Rook said Andy was playing with his little thing when a cheerleader photo popped up on his computer. As for Mondays,
you did say that.
What? Why are cheerleader photos popping up on his computer?
I don't know about the cheerleader thing, but you did say something about playing with your little thing, and because you had said it, no one else thought that they had to stop what they were doing and laugh hysterically.
Shut up.
But yeah, I do recall
like
you
Fred
saying
Fred is mature.
That.
Fred is
you
real mature.
You should know I got a little wiener.
Well, as for Monday's game, I'm looking forward to seeing the D-line play, something I have not said in some time. I think it will be fascinating to see how all of these players mesh together. That will be the most interesting part. I'm looking for a low-scoring game, and I think the offense is still trying to get on the same page after the something off-season. Same off-season?
Short?
Yeah, S-A-M-E. Anyway, quick question for Andy. Is the guy with the coolest hair ever still on the team, and have you talked with him about his hair? And if the answer is yes, you cannot talk about Chaz's confused sexuality ever again. No, he's not here. Underwood is gone.
And I never talked to him about his hair. And cool hair, to me, is not gay. Gay hair is gay.
If you're going to go cool hair, I would go Will Yeatman. I think he had cool hair.
He had flow. That's what they call it.
Oh, I didn't care for it. He had that.
He had a prep school look.
Yeah.
Looked like he should have a sweater vest on and join some secret club at Princeton.
The Skull and Bones Club?
Yeah.
Dead Poet Society?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, including Eric. I've been listening now for two seasons. You guys are by far the best radio program. Keep up the good work.
Why, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I really wonder if people really mean that.
No, they don't.
No, they don't mean it.
Actually, you know what? I think they do because
I can't imagine they do.
No, I was thinking about it this morning. A lot of radio you listen to, like the sports radio in this town, I only listen, and I'm the opposite of Paul here, so he won't agree with me, but I only listen to the guests. Like Toucher and Rich, I'm one of the guests, but I don't listen to hear them talk.
Media
I
guests?
Listen to hear people,
that's
other people.
That's the only time I make sure that I listen. Mitch Eisen was on today with Dennis Academy.
But I also listen to Brady and I listen to Belichick, the player guests.
But
I don't listen to the hosts at all. If the hosts are in a long period where I know nothing's coming, I go to a different show.
I have to admit, I think Felger and Maz crack me up. Yeah, they do sometimes.
They do. Andy doesn't like them. And listen, it's Tej. It's
that 800 number. I forgot it. I'm sorry.
But the guest thing, I have no interest in Terry Francona because he doesn't say anything.
Right. Yeah.
I have plenty of interest in Tom Brady for professional reasons, and I also think he's pretty good. I used to like listening to Curt Schilling because Schilling said stuff. The majority of guests that you have on, when I say I don't like the guests, usually it's when athletes make appearances. They're dull. I mean, I think, frankly, and I don't hope this isn't offensive to our Patriots Monday, the guests, most of them are not really compelling.
I would agree.
And I'm not going to get into the individuals and be insulting, but they're not really worth listening to.
Well, I have to say that when Holly was...
Tom Brady is worth listening to.
When Holly was on the midday, he had some good interaction with... You know, some of the guys that would come on. It wasn't really Patriots related.
Rodney said some funny things. Rodney was very good, but I love Rodney, so that was a little different.
But I just think we haven't had a guest on the show in going on 2 years. So if you're listening just for us. You're not getting any other stuff.
But I do kind of like, and maybe this is just because I'm in the media. I don't know, but I do like when they have media guests, so like Boomer Esiason's segment.
Boomer's good.
I listen to that all the time.
Remy's terrible.
Remy's not a good segment. Remy's not a good segment because he doesn't say anything.
Well, it's baseball. I mean, baseball period is not a good segment.
But you ever listen to, like, Buster Olney?
Who?
Buster Olney from ESPN?
Does he talk baseball? If so, Fred doesn't like him.
Buster Poindexter? What's his name?
Buster Move. Buster Rhymes.
We can move on now. Fred is taking it to the theater of the absurd.
Did you watch the Uggs commercial, Fred?
No.
The Brady?
No.
I saw criticisms of it that I think are unwarranted.
I thought they were debuting it at the Monday night game.
I watched it online. I don't know.
Oh, so maybe they are debuting at the Monday night game.
But I saw some people, I think Darren Revelle was critical, or somebody was critical that they didn't make use of Brady. You have your high-paid spokesman. I couldn't disagree more. It's a 50-50 split with clear Tom Brady, but then there's a lot of shots of just the shoes, which is, by the way, what you're trying to sell, your product.
You're trying to associate Brady with the shoe.
And I didn't.
It's got to be the shoes.
Other than his hair in one scene, he comes off fine. He doesn't look gay, or it's not a goat one. It's not a... No, but seriously, the goat ones, he came off not looking the greatest. And you know, coming down the water slide or thing. He's
well, that
done
wasn't
some things.
A commercial.
Or dancing in Brazil, whatever.
Right.
He
again,
looks
not a commercial.
Relatively manly in this production. And I thought it was a good mix of here's our celebrity guy, here's our shoes, and they a lot of quick cuts to different shoes. It's him walking, but his shoes change all the time. And showing these are the different shoes you can have when he's in the park. He's
I
on
have
the
to
street.
Admit, I was at the Rentham Outlets over the weekend, or at some point, I forget when, but they had they have the UGG store there, and they had like white and green tennis sneakers, but they were UGGs. And if they had my size, I would have bought them. They looked really, really comfortable.
But were they?
I don't know.
I have UGG slippers. And
I'm not surprised.
They're fantastic.
Paul has the full lounge wardrobe.
Because I'm
the
very
the terry cloth bathrobe. And you know.
Says the guy who the first thing he does when he gets home is remove his pants.
Well, I don't wear anything.
It really is unbelievable.
Paul has a wardrobe.
Yeah.
I'd rather you have a wardrobe just in case I ever drop by unannounced. I don't want to see your meat.
I don't hire individual people to get me suits like you do.
It's true.
I don't hire him.
Sure you do. It's on retainer.
He comes to your office. You close the door. You take your clothes off. He measures you.
I mean, Lord only knows what goes on behind those closed doors.
That's a long tape measurement.
That's not what I heard.
Anyway, Robert says, my comment is about the Gronk brothers. I know you guys have talked about them being a problem on a previous show, but I think it's a
All
great
right.
move.
Can we just pump the brakes a little
we
bit on
the problem?
We didn't say problem.
We just asked a question. Right? Could it be an issue that they're so close, so competitive, so crazy family that it could, I use the analogy to Paul, you know, a prescription drug. Well, if it works as prescribed, if I take a little bit more, well, it's not as good anymore. And one Gronkowski might be taking it as prescribed and you get two and it's over the top.
They're young guys. They're very fun loving. They like to have a lot of fun together, a lot of good times. And you just wonder if maybe they get a little distracted.
Would you want Paul and Rich on your team?
I don't
in
think,
the meeting room.
I don't
all of a sudden talking Northeastern while you're trying to go over a
Paul's
play.
Paul's office, they'd be arguing.
Exactly. Right, so you couldn't have those two work together.
I think that's a perfect analogy.
Now, I'd rather have the Gronkowski Rob, which is Rich. We got stuck with the Dan, who was on the street the day the season opened. That's you, Paul. Not the good Gronkowski, if you know what I'm saying.
ESPN. At least I was in the league. Where were you?
ESPN did a little thing on the whole Gronk family, and those brothers are super competitive.
Yes.
They may goof around a little bit more being together, but I think they're going to make each other that much better by being on the team playing the same position. The pregame social is awesome. Paul rules, and F the Jets.
What about me? F you.
You don't rule.
You don't rule. He picked who we thought ruled.
And by the way, he's an idiot, but the competitive nature of isn't necessarily a good thing. If they're worried more about competing with each other in the practice field than doing their job, that's a problem too. If it becomes a one-on-one instead of a what am I supposed to be doing?
And I'm just bringing up possible things that might make it worrisome. I don't think it's a huge problem. They needed a tight end. They brought one in. He happened to be Gronkowski's brother. I don't think there was, you know, I don't think it's a major thing to sit there and say, well, this is going to unravel the team and disrupt chemistry or anything. No, but I mean, people are like, you guys are talking about all the problem. No, we just brought up the fact that they're a certain type, you know, that frat boy type, and you wonder.
This isn't the Chad Jackson episode years ago when, you know, we knew what he did going into that event, and we said it, and people criticize us. You know, what we said back then was true. This is just a question.
Right.
This is just.
Which Bill acknowledged yesterday when he said, hopefully there'll be some football talkers. I mean, that was his way of acknowledging. These are whack
jobs.
Yeah,
I know these guys. I saw them when Rob was drafted, right. And they went up there and they were chest bumping and, you know.
That's headlocking.
And Tom said it yesterday that they were.
I didn't think he did them any favors with that comment.
They headlocked in the locker room. He had them in a headlock in the locker room.
I don't think he meant that. I watched it on Comcast Live, the replay at 5 p.m. But I didn't think he was necessarily being. They actually did it. He'd actually just seen them do it. And I don't think he did them any. If anybody had the feelings we do that there's a slight chance it could be an issue, I don't think Tom did him any favors with that type of a comment.
My point about it, though, is that they obviously know where the question's coming from.
Right.
Like, I think if Devin McCourty's twin brother, Jason, was signed tomorrow, I don't think that Bill would say, now, hopefully in that defensive backs meeting, they're talking a little bit football.
Right.
And I don't think. Matt Patricia would say, yeah, I think they just headlocked in the locker room. I don't think that they would say that.
Right.
There's a reason why.
What if Chad Ochocinco's brother were signed tomorrow?
You might get something like that.
Okay, that's my point.
Let's see.
I think they just tweeted each other in the locker room. Nate's, and I always thought tweeting was the other thing.
Nate's wondering, are all the interviews with Haynesworth and the captains from today going to be on Patriots.com? And what would you guys think if the Pats get all the Gronkowski brothers on the team?
I'd love it.
I think we have to go into rehab.
I think, I'm not sure who was where in the
Colts
locker room, but a lot of those interviews will be there.
Yeah.
Either in
Patriots. I don't know about Haynesworth. I don't know.
Well, Patriots today didn't get it?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, just, I'm sure whatever we get will be up there.
And there'll be some audio. I know our good friend from the pregame social, Matt LaPon, was in there with, I think, a recorder. He's usually doing something.
Bobby
had a pink shirt.
Bobby from Connecticut writes in. He says, I've been listening for 2 seasons now. You guys are by far the best radio program. Keep up the good work.
You already read that one.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, it is. It's the same.
I was pretty sure it was the exact same one.
He must have sent it in twice.
I think you just read it twice.
No. I delete them after I read them. Artie writes in.
We're not that bad where we need to promote ourselves by reading emails twice.
Artie. Hey. Maybe Bill Belichick will take over NFL films. He has a love for the history and knows so much about it. Just a thought. Maybe he and his son go into it. Talking about who's the heir apparent to Steve Sable. I don't think he'd do that.
And it's also, isn't it kind of an art?
Yeah.
So I don't really think he's an artist in that way. Maybe Eric will do it. He's an artist.
Oh, God. Could you imagine?
He's still working on that.
Right, I was going to say, he'll start the 2011 Pats now, and in like 20 years it'll be
no
done.
I think that would be perfect training. For him.
Plus, he'd have to go live at people's houses when he did it.
If only he knew anything about football.
Right.
He would fail miserably. Just like he has in every other career.
Oh, jeez.
How come he doesn't have to repeat his lines for you to give him the drum roll, but I do? I'm sick of you liking him more than you do anybody else.
TG and NJ has been trying to catch up. Andy, what about dark chocolate? No, I'm talking about
the
food.
Oh, no, I don't.
Nothing like some semi-sweet dark.
Sexual chocolate.
Cacao washed down with a nice Cabernet. Oh, crap, I sound like Squidward.
You do. And I don't like.
I just like the way Fred read it.
I don't like semi-sweet chocolate or any of that.
Lubricant.
I don't like
dark
chocolate.
Dark chocolate's good for
you. If you could change one rule in the NFL, what would it be?
Tuck rule. That's what Mike Pereira said.
If I could change, I'd get rid of kicks completely. No
he's
field goals, no extra points. You could run it in for an extra point, but no more kicks. Kicks are gone.
How do you start games?
20-yard line. You flip, team starts at the 20.
Any punts? Or?
Yeah, you can punt. You can punt.
Okay.
That's the only kick.
I know you guys are both going to disagree with me.
I know mine. I put the goalpost back on the goal.
I don't know if it would be the only thing, but I would say the college rule for a catch, 1 foot inbounds.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Oh, I thought for sure you guys would disagree with that.
No,
it's
a good one.
I like
it's more skill and it's the pro over the
college. I've heard guys say, this is the pros. You got to have 2 feet.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought your argument would be.
No, I'd rather see more catches. I think I could see a more miraculous catch where a guy is basically 4 yards out of bounds making a catch, just dragging one toe.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about all these rules that help the offense. That one rule right there would help the offense more than all that other stuff.
Plus, you get a lot less controversy, too. I don't think you'd have to have as many replays.
Right.
I don't think you'd have as many questions even after the replay. I just think it would make it easier.
Yeah. One more fun. Now, defenders won't care for it.
Nope.
Yeah, that's true.
TG and NJ, Pauly, will you not be traveling at all this season? Is every game a home game for you because of the pregame show? That's true.
Yes. If Eric needs a week off or something, or if we want to change it up, we might sub in and out. But, yeah, right now the plan is for Freddie and Eric to travel to all the games, and Andy and I will man the fort here and do the Patriots pregame social.
And the little secret that no one's telling is Freddie kind of likes it because Freddie's going to the locker room. You kind of like it, don't you?
I don't like that.
I think you do.
No.
I think you got your reporter's hat on again, and there's a little bit of you that likes it.
I think you
a little bit upset at Eric last game.
Really? You know, I can't imagine.
We were at Detroit, right? So the first game worked out well where I went down the locker room. I got some stuff. I gave it to Eric, and he shared it with you. So last game I get down there after I packed up, and I see Eric still waiting to get in the locker room. They hadn't opened up yet. He goes, well, why don't you go do Bill because I got to go in the locker room.
Telling you what to do.
So I went.
That couldn't have gone over well.
I went to Bill, but then he comes in for Brady. It's like,
what are you doing?
Should never be in the same place at the same time.
Sure.
You know?
Unless he needs something specific. He needs a question asked. And then he
but then
you.
Ask me to ask it.
Right. Right.
That's,
you know, there's no need to have two people at the same place.
You'll work it out. Is that the one where you were on TV in the background?
Yeah.
I think, funny?
Yeah. You like that.
But that was funny because you played to the camera.
Right. Oh, it was good.
Andy and I were waiting for the Belichick press conference in the Patriots fifth quarter, and you could see Fred in the background on the camera, on the Channel 4 camera. And so Andy, of course, can't help himself. He picks up his phone and he starts texting Fred about his fat shoulders being on TV or whatever.
10 pounds heavier on TV, whatever those.
How many cameras are on you? And Fred tweets him back and tells him to shut up, fat mouth, or whatever.
Oh no, there was an F bomb in there.
But he also looks into the camera and gives that smirk. That was classic moments in PFW in progress history.
Fred, thanks. Now, with the Patriots app coming out, I'm more inclined to get an iPad than ever before.
Wow, so Apple should thank you.
Well, we tried to do that. They wouldn't listen. And I thought you were going to post the PFW team picks this year online so we listeners could punch them up or even add our picks to compete with you guys. What happened to that idea? I'm not even sure what that is. The picks that we made in the paper or... Or, oh, the picks that we're going to do today.
I don't know.
Do we post them somewhere, don't we? No?
I write them in my notebook.
We probably should. Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah.
I got an ideas.
Okay.
Are we still doing that Facebook page?
The number two in the second race.
After we do the picks today, Paul can, you know, just email you or just
I'm not inputting all this.
Yes, you are.
I'm writing it in the notebook.
Right. But he'll share the pics and maybe you can post them on the Facebook page.
That'd be fine.
Or Matt.
Yeah, or Matt can do it.
Yeah.
So
we'll get them up.
So TG, so we'll put them on the Facebook page. People can see them and then you can comment
on. Which one?
On the Patriots, not the.
The PFW.
The PFW Facebook page.
Okay. That's why I was asking, just making
sure. Also, let's see, he also says.
Gordy Howe.
Looks like Belichick's patience with Matthew Slater has paid off. I, for one, am glad he's on the roster.
Me too.
And why did Belichick let the Football Life special be made? I thought he was supposed to be a closed, private individual. What will Belichick haters think? Will it change their opinion?
No. And let me just, based on the first part, there is nothing, he's supposed to be a closed, what did he say, closed book?
Yeah.
Closed door? It's very
private
much,
individual.
It's very much closed. Yeah. You don't see much. You don't see much of a glimpse into the, you know, the soul here.
You see a hell of a lot more than you ever saw. And we haven't got to the part where they go to his house.
You actually see
him.
Well,
wait a minute. Now, it's part two. He goes to his home and all that stuff.
Maybe there's some different stuff there, but you don't see a whole lot in terms of getting an idea. I don't think you have more of an idea of who Bill Belichick is based on part one.
Okay.
Do you?
If you
disagree, that's fine.
No, I just think that all those times you're wondering what he's saying on the sideline, now you know.
And I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that's the home run. From a football perspective, that's why I say, like, I could watch anybody do that. You know, the interaction between, you know, when the quarterback goes to the sideline and the coach is saying something, what are they saying? Or when, you know, at one point there was a good drive they had in a preseason game and Belichick is talking, I think, upstairs to Bill O'Brien. Telling him, hey, great drive there, Billy. Good job, Billy.
Right.
And that stuff, to me, I find very exciting, you know, for lack of a better word. I just think that's the stuff that we want to sort of peek behind the curtain and see. But I don't think you find out much more about who Bill Belichick is and what makes him tick than you knew going in.
And the great debate that it has spawned is why he did it. I mean, I've heard plenty of the talk radio shows.
The history.
The seeing the end, being close to the end, and wanting to document himself, or the reason they've given is just the 35th year for him, the 50th
right. for the Patriots.
Some combination of all those.
And that's the very first, that's how it opens. It says this is the 35th training camp for Bill Belichick.
Right.
And
or just the belief
the
50th
anniversary
that he doesn't want
team.
To be remembered as simply the guy the media hated the media that, you know, other coaches took jabs at, he wants there to be more on the record so that when, you know, 20 years from now, when they look at the Lombardi for him, that version, this video recollection, that
that point, it'll be the Belichick trophy. But, yeah, I get your point. I think Peyton will, this is still TG, I think Peyton will be out longer than anybody wants him to be. Nerves regenerate slower than most tissues. Of course, I know nothing about anatomy. And two last questions. How's my boy Sergio Brown looking, and will Edelman be a factor this season? Football is back. Long live PFW.
Edelman will indeed be a factor, at the very least, on special teams.
Another one of Mike Reese's predictions in that piece that was alluded to earlier is he predicted Edelman to return two punts for a touchdown this year.
Oh, so he's on board with me. A little special. Got a little specialness to him.
I think he is a dynamic punt returner.
Maybe kicks too.
Yeah, he's very good in tight space, you know, spaces. He can go east west really quickly.
Which again begs the question: why was he not that good in college as a running quarterback?
The only thing I can think is that he got sacked a lot in college. Those totals count against you rushing
right.
as a quarterback.
But like, what did Michael
maybe
Vick
he
rush
got
for?
Sacked? You know, maybe he got sacked a lot of times and.
What was Michael Vick's average per carry in college?
It's a great question. That might just blow up the theory.
Or what was Eric Crouch's or one of those guys?
I think Edelman also learned some quickness at the NFL level.
Certainly learned some Rogaine.
My God. That is getting more and more out of control by the day.
Talk about a mop head. That's a real
mop head. You see the picture of him in Mesco with the Stanley Cup and the face he's making?
He was
making
really excited
and just this
about
huge
that, huh?
hair and. Well, you should be. It's a Stanley Cup.
He was really excited. But you don't see, like, pro athletes really go over the top on that stuff a lot.
Oh, I think
especially a guy from California.
I think beyond any other trophy, the Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup is legit. No,
I mean, I think there's a lot of people that don't even know hockey, that the Stanley Cup means something because of the tradition of it being passed down literally from player to player and everything it's seen. I mean, you're holding the cup that Bobby Orr slept with or whatever at some point, right? I mean, that's the same. There's something cool about
that. You really got to gay it up, though, don't you, Bobby?
No, well, I was thinking of Cuban. You know, he took the trophy.
Yeah.
But it's his. That's it. You know, the next guy gets his.
Right.
Right?
It's not the same
this
one.
This one is the one.
Right.
Whether you want to be fun about it or think of all the debauchery that's taken place, it all happened with that exact one.
No, it's true. Scott says, are the Pats going to Miami early to get ready for the Heat, or is it a non-issue? No, they're going just the day before like they do for every other
game. Yeah, it's a night game. Too. So
yeah.
Not only you don't need to be there as long because you're obviously there the day before and then you have the whole day after.
Right.
Plus it's at night, so it won't be in the, you know, the sun baked.
Yeah, I think it's going to be.
Whatever the name of that stadium was, it Sun Life Stadium?
They were looking sun-baked at 90 sun-life. Degrees during the day that day. So
yeah, it will not be pleasant, that's for sure.
Luckily, you'll be swimming and body surfing the waves or whatever.
Yeah, you and Eric going to do that?
Sure.
Boy, speaking of gain it up.
You two hairy bastards.
Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. And Chris with a TIAN from Revere is on the line. Hey, Christian.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
Nothing much. How you doing?
I'm pumped. We're back to 3 days a week. The season's almost there. I can't wait.
Bring on the Dolphins. Woo!
We call them three weeks.
Bring them on. I can't wait. I think they're going to – I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but, I mean, I think they'll win probably by about 10 to 14 points, I think.
Comfortable.
I agree with that exactly.
Yeah, it'll be comfortable. Just what you guys are saying yesterday. I think Miami would be a little better on the offensive side of the ball this year.
Really?
Again, it's all up to Henny. Well, I mean, I always like Brandon Marshall. I think the addition of Reggie Bush is going to help them tremendously. And you know, Henny had a pretty good, decent preseason. So
you're right about Henny. It is all, you know, if he.
Yeah, I mean, it's all on him. I mean, we know how it is on the offensive side of the ball. All
2 years ago, he had that stretch there where he looked like he was sort of emerging as an up and comer, and then last year he regressed badly.
Big time.
We'll see. We'll see what he ends up being. I tend to think the latter because that's what I thought of him at Michigan.
Yep. I'm kind of interested too to see how the whole thing with Sperano plays out. Sort of like that whole thing.
Look out below if they get off to a bad start.
And he's openly talking about it. You see that?
He talked about it yesterday. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I the more I see that Dolphins organization,
I don't blame him one bit because he knows where this is going. He's preparing himself
now. At zero, he's talking about it. What's he going to be doing when the ship is already sinking and he might as well just say whatever he wants?
He'll be gone.
No, I'm saying he's going to force the issue. If he's already at 0-0 when there's a chance you could be good, you don't know. He's already talking about the crap he's dealt with. He's going to be talking about even more when they're 1-3, and even more when they're 2-6. And I just think that's what a debacle. And that guy with the new owner. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right.
I just have one question. What do you guys who's sort of on the defensive side of the ball? Who's your sleeper for this year? Who's a guy that was sort of looking at thinking that he may contribute but may have a huge year?
Josh Barrett.
My guy from the beginning has been Kyle Love. I really think he fell
in love with him.
He's another guy that, you know, when they just couldn't cut him and when they had to pare down that defensive line, he earned himself a legitimate job this preseason.
Yeah. Now, can he earn a role?
Yeah, I like those two picks. I'll go Mark Anderson just to say someone different that no one's really talking about. I think he could be a guy in sub packages that might, you know.
He might be the new Tully Bannacane when he had the 10.5 sacks.
Only effective.
Right.
He might have, instead of playing 70 snaps a game and getting 10 sacks, he might play 15 snaps a game and get 10 sacks if he's.
If he's circa 2006.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there's also a chance that, you know, by week four, he's off the team.
Well, other than Love, I think both our guys, there's a chance with that. I think there's a chance Barrett stinks and he could be out of here in a month. I don't think anybody on that level of player is secure.
Yeah. All right, Christian.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, Christian from Revere.
You know what else is up? The water levels. It's raining like cats and dogs out there, Christian.
Really ridiculous, by the way. And I know it's a tropical storm and all that stuff, but 2 hours back and forth, it needs to stop. The sun needs to come out at some point.
Tomorrow, right? Or today? Even this
supposed
afternoon?
To be tomorrow, I think. But
Joel in Merrimack writes in, Merrimack, New Hampshire. Hi, guys. And by the way, where is the petulant one? Haven't heard him on the show lately.
Who's that, Eric?
He goes from locker room to practice now, and he probably tries to put something up on the blog, as I saw. He tweeted something out a little while ago. So he's a little bit less of a presence on the show. Which
is he really by not being here?
Which
is
a good thing.
Presence?
Hey, Kevin, is John Rook doing the show from here or his basement today?
Doing it from here.
Okay.
Wow, 3 days in a row, huh?
Yeah, I think he's kind of discontinued the basement idea.
He didn't lose the basement.
Did he lose
the
basement?
Divorced.
Yeah, I think he might.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Now I feel bad.
Joel says, haven't heard him on the show. Oh, we just talked about that. Anyway, I finally get it. I have finally figured out Bill's strategy and the answer to why he let go of his safeties. Answer, we don't need him. Why? Well, it's simple.
We sucked with him.
Bill figures that since his defense is going to be able to sack the quarterback on every play, the position of safety has become superfluous. Don't need to cover if they've never going to get a chance to catch the ball, right?
True.
At least I'm hoping this is the scheme, because if opposing quarterbacks have the time in the pocket they did last year, this could spell trouble. What do you guys think? How confident are you in the DB's ability to cover if we can't get pressure on the quarterback? Keep up the great show, and it's good to be back to the regular season and have you guys back 3 times a week. And by the way, tell Andy that you can't go wrong with anything by Nikon. I have several professional photographers in my family. They all use Nikons and have always recommended them to me.
It's funny. Eric told me, you can get anything you want as long as it's a Canon.
Canons are good, too. I mean, you know. Go ahead.
I was going to talk football.
How about Olympus? Not good.
I don't know from Olympus.
No? All right.
I am confident in 4/5 of the secondary. Other than the starting safety spot opposite Chung, I am confident in Bodden, McCourty, and even Arrington as a third corner. I feel pretty good about. I'm not still sold on that safety spot.
Yeah, I agree. But the question that you asked there, that the emailer asked about how confident are you in the secondary if you can't get any pressure, not at all.
Right.
Not at all. And I'm not confident in virtually any secondary if you can't get any pressure like last year.
But aren't you confident that the pressure is going to be better than last year? Not, you know,
yes.
Can't make a throw. We don't even need secondary
not
players.
Not like Tampa Bay.
But, right.
Not
but
like
better.
Tampa Bay, but it'll be better.
Somewhere better than last year's non-existent one.
And then I agree with Andy. If you're better, then you have Bodden and McCourty and Arrington as your third corner. I think that's fine.
Paul, could you give me some soda before you finish off that two-liter bottle?
There's like 17 bottles in there. This was not a full bottle.
Sure, it was.
It was when I opened it. I swear to God,
it
Paul.
Was down below this label. Right
I had
there.
One drink.
This is not a new bottle.
Oh, you know what? Kevin might have had some.
Maybe, because this was not a new bottle when I had my first drink.
No, when you came in, I had already had a drink.
You know, when I had my first drink, it wasn't a new bottle.
The answer is 123. The question, when Paul and Fred got into a Coke and how full the bottle argument.
Tiff in Wisconsin.
It wasn't full. It was full. No, I drank it all. No, you didn't.
Yeah, the
he's going to open another one, by the way.
Well.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. There's no way you go 40 minutes.
I just threw my cup away.
It's only 123. We have to do the pick still.
We got to wait for Eric, though.
Oh, we do.
Does Eric come?
He'll be by. That was dirty.
Tiff in Wisconsin says,
chocolate is better than, vanilla is better than chocolate.
Tiff in Wisconsin says, I am sorry, but you guys hurt my feelings yesterday.
No, it was just me. It wasn't everybody, Tiff. I was the one.
What did you say? Yes, I am.
Vanilla is better than chocolate.
No. Yes, I am sensitive, especially about the topic you all facetiously brought up. You all talked about Marv Levy and implied that Belichick could be the subject of his novel. I have respect for Levy, and I love and respect the Pats and Belichick, so that discussion made me feel bad. Some Pats fans aren't laughing at that yet. Moving on, Fred, can you tell me why you don't feel Marv Levy is as good of a head coach as Belichick? I honestly don't know. I was a young child when Marv Levy coached, so I can't see the difference. I just always thought Levy was great. My grandpa always liked him. I still love you guys and think your show and analysis are second to none. Despite being a little upset at you, I will stop fleecing and subscribe to PFW.
To the iPad. Is everybody buying the paper now that you told them to buy the app?
I don't know. Well, if you buy the paper, you get the app for free.
Why would you get the app for free? What is that old saying, the cow and the milk?
Why do I think Belichick is a better coach than Marv Levy? Well,
because Belichick is the Patriots coach.
No, and also he is better. And I don't think,
and also he's better.
And I don't think I'm the only one that thinks that.
I think he's a better coach than Marv Levy.
But I don't. He just defined a word using the word or something.
It's just not.
You know, and he's better.
Now, if I worked for the Bills in the early 90s, I might think differently. But I just kind of laughed at your notion of, you know, not a taskmaster. Yeah, not a guy that stays late. I mean, how do you know?
I know that.
Well, but let's look at the Bills.
How do you know that?
What were the Bills known for?
Going to the Super Bowl every year.
No, but the K-Gun offense was a big part of that Bills. And who was given credit for that? Jim Kelly, for calling his own plays.
Right?
So there's an aspect of that.
I think Ted Marchabrota.
But,
now I know why you don't think much of... Because Bill loves Ted Marchabrota.
Bill thinks very little of Marv Levy.
That's why. Now it all makes sense.
But it is true, and this didn't come from Fred Smirlis, that sometimes during games he'd have classical music playing in his headphones. Marv Levy.
So? If Bill did that, you would say he's a genius and it put him in the right mindset to win the game.
No, he's focused. You know, they're different. Marv Levy is a great guy. I met him. He's a gentleman. Really, really nice guy. But he's just not as good a coach as Bill Belichick is.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Marv Levy? I don't know. I'm not
sure. He is, isn't he?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought he was.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Didn't he have success somewhere before Buffalo?
No. Kansas City. It was kind of similar to Bill.
Jonas in Durham says, sometimes when I'm watching Bill fending off, deflecting, and generally avoiding questions in press conferences, I hear the classic Bill I don't know answer. As you pointed out last week, this is absurd. Unless someone like Bendenson is asking him to imagine what someone else is thinking, Bill knows. He always knows. He probably knows what Fred eats for breakfast. I wonder if that answer could be interpreted as, good question, just an attempt at a silver lining, I suppose. Also, I don't know conference call protocol, but how is it that Crapo always manages to get verbally tied up with other writers? Is he dumb? Who's Crapo?
I assume Ian Rappaport.
No
comment.
Careful, Paul.
I don't know what that meant.
Yeah, Paul can't talk about it because he and
Ian
have
Bendenson,
broken bread. I do miss him.
Kind of miss William Bendenson?
I miss.
He's now getting his law degree.
Yes.
Tulane?
Come on a conference call. Do not pick up. Use your cell phone.
Classic. That is classic.
He'll forever be remembered.
Oh, my God. That is classic. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Steve is in Toronto. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
Two things. First, I'll stick with Fred.
Yep.
I subscribed to the paper about a month ago, and being in Toronto, Canada, I assumed I was in a foreign country.
Well, your phone sounds like you're in a foreign country.
Are you talking into a soup can?
Are you on the front lines in Afghanistan, or where are you?
No, I'm in Toronto.
Okay, is there fighting going on there?
Riots? No, okay, well, maybe it's just the... I'll try to find a better spot.
Are you on Magic Jack?
No, I'm on a phone.
Oh, that's much better, actually, right there.
Okay, so I just had to get a better spot.
Okay.
Okay, so, like, how come I can't get the online-only version?
Because you're not overseas. The people overseas have to pay exorbitant amount in airmail, and so we didn't feel it fair to force them to subscribe to the paper and have to pay that exorbitant amount of money.
Oh, so it's a continent thing.
It's a continent thing, right.
Oh, okay. All right, well, now at least I got the explanation.
Okay.
Have you gotten your first issue yet is the question.
No.
Sorry about that.
No,
Carol Hardy.
There was a mix-up with Carol, and she's fixing it today.
Oh, good.
I can't imagine.
Good. There always is with her.
Well, it's okay. Don't kill. She was very attentive today about sorting it out.
Okay. Oh, she usually is.
Did she yell at you? Because she usually yells at the customer.
Will you stop it?
No, she was kind of apologetic on this one.
She's going to hit you when you go upstairs now.
She's going to be pissed.
What my other thing was, I was reading, I may have been on your site, I don't know where I was reading it, but I was reading something about Miami that I found interesting, that I guess Sperano was talking about that they're doing a lot of new and interesting things on offense.
Yep.
And somebody tied that into, well, scoring this touchdowns? Is the same team that came up with the Wildcat a couple years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, Andy talked and about that so a little bit yesterday here on the show.
Was that what you guys, maybe I heard it from you guys then.
Of course you did. You hear everything from
us. If it was interesting in any way, it's more than likely it originated with us.
But yes, I think they are counting on the unknown as part of their offense this year. I don't think they're naive enough to think, okay, Chad Henne's going to have a breakout year, and we're just going to throw the ball to Brandon Marshall 130 times.
Going to line up in the shotgun and let Chad fling it around 50 times.
They have a bad offensive line and a bad quarterback. I think Sperano is honest enough in his evaluations to say, we're going to have to trick some people. We're going to have to catch some people off guard. Brian Daboll did it a little bit against the Patriots with the Browns, I think.
Remember that little end around he did with Chauncey Stuckey, I want to say?
Yeah, that was good.
Out of the Wildcat.
So I think you're going to see some creative things. Will it work? Lord only knows. But a pretty good weapon to be creative with is Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
And Daniel Thomas, don't forget, ran the Wildcat very successfully for 2 years at Kansas State. He was their Wildcat guy and had a lot of success out of it.
I'm just hoping that the Patriots are thinking like this, that at least they're not going to come up with a huge surprise.
It's funny. I almost asked Bill yesterday that question, but I didn't know how to ask it right in terms of how do you prepare for the unknown? How do you prepare for something you can't prepare for?
That's not a bad question.
No,
really.
But I'm just laughing because I do the same thing all the time, and I say to you after the fact, and you always go, why don't you ever ask these questions?
Well,
that's the exact reason why I don't always
ask. I went so well yesterday getting the direct yes on the Mayo thing that I didn't want to ruin it by asking and getting a throw-up face.
It's something like you can't anticipate everything, so how do you prepare for the unknown if that doesn't sound silly?
You know me. There was a little bit of me once say, you guys failed miserably when they unleashed the Wildcat at you. How do you prepare for the unknown this time?
Right. All right, Steve, thanks for calling in.
Good luck with that first issue.
I hope Carol took care of you.
Price is Right was a good cover early this preseason. You should get that in about a week.
Mike in Illinois says, does the Manning injury diminish Polian's reputation as a GM? Having to call up Kerry Collins 2 weeks before the season starts, he knew Painter sucked, wasn't ready for prime time, but did nothing. Do you think that Favre or Garrard will be brought in to be a potential starter for the Colts? Andy, a percentage of the proceeds from the chocolate and pink cookies go to the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure.
You have an unbelievable knack for making fun of good causes.
Well, I've actually heard bad things about that cause, that a high percentage goes to, like, administrative costs
and not
the actual charity.
And is the Fantasy Lowdown returning this year? Yes, it is. We said the first hour of every Thursday's edition of the Pete Shepherd Show from 4 to 5
will
be the B-low lowdown. So if you have your
What do you think about the Kerry Collins situation?
I got no problem with it.
I don't either.
I have a big problem with it.
Explain. I mean, in terms of who?
That they had their second quarterback, who they've had for a while.
I want to say this.
They didn't just get Curtis
This
Painter.
Is a huge thing right now and with Fred's favorite show, Felger and Maz. Felger goes on the same rant every day for a half hour.
No,
Felger
beating a dead horse?
In 2008, when
Brady
got...
And Felger's for it, Paul's against it.
No. Felger is flat out wrong. He is misremembering the facts of 2008.
He's Roger Clemens.
Okay. And which the irony here is he was at the forefront of the criticism in 2008 and somehow has forgotten what happened. Matt Cassel that preseason was sort of up and down to say the, you know, to put it kindly.
You weren't
he was
confident.
Inconsistent.
I wanted to cut him.
A lot of people thought he was going to get cut.
That's right.
In no uncertain terms. Michael Felger, first and foremost. Brady went down in the first game of the season. They had a schedule.
They had two guys in.
Two guys were scheduled to come in.
And they turned them
because
around.
Bill Belichick was not comfortable with his backup quarterback situation. He had two veterans, not unlike Kerry Collins.
Who was it? It was
on their way in. I want to say Redmond was one of them, maybe.
Yeah.
Or Rattay,
I think you're right.
Maybe Tim Rattay.
I think it was Rattay and Sims.
Chris Sims.
Chris Sims might have been. You might be right.
Sims.
Okay.
Yeah,
pretty sure Rattay was one of them, but just veteran backup types, journeyman. You know, just another option for backup quarterback. They were scheduled to come in. Then Brady went down. And Bill changed his mind because he didn't think he could teach the new guys quickly enough to be his guy. And he didn't want Cassel looking over his shoulder at a veteran potential replacement. So instead, he re-signed Matt Gutierrez to be the backup for the whole season, knowing Castle's not going to be threatened by Matt Gutierrez.
Is that your opinion?
No, that's fact. Okay. Not opinion.
Oh, yeah, that's fact.
That's what happened. Those are the facts. They are undisputed.
I know the sequence, but the reasoning for Belichick, do we know that for a fact?
Do I know it for 100% fact? Could I swear on it on a stack of Bibles? No. But you explain to me why you would cancel.
Well, I heard he was pissed that the word got out, and he turned them around at the airport. He didn't even have them come in.
Oh, right? That's absolutely true. He turned them around at the airport. But my opinion is he turned them around at the airport not because the word got out, but because it's not in the best interest of my football team to have two veterans in here competing take Matt Castle's place.
I just didn't.
There were whispers of that at the time.
I didn't
there
know if
reports.
I had missed like some confirmation.
You
of
don't
that
think that Bill Belichick simply didn't sign a guy that he thought could help his team because word got out that they were thinking about signing him.
I remember the whole thing, and you're absolutely right. It's accurate.
In other words, Bill Belichick did exactly what Bill Polian did. Only Bill Polian had the luxury of doing it 3 weeks before the season when he realized what was going to happen to Peyton Manning. Belichick didn't have that luxury. He had to wait till the season started. And then all of a sudden his guy went down and he had a scramble with plan B. And I'll tell you the other thing that Felger completely leaves out of that whole situation. He's trying to say that they didn't not make the playoffs that year because of Matt Castle. I mean, that's utterly absurd to suggest that they wouldn't have won more games with Brady. That's an absolute absurd notion.
They couldn't beat a good team that year.
Right. And largely because when they played good teams, their quarterback wasn't up to par with Tom Brady.
Right.
I mean, would say out of the games, they lost five games, one of them had nothing to do
with
passing.
Remember the San Diego game?
Awful.
I mean, we thought the season was over after
awful
that game.
He played in that game.
Yeah.
And he played awful in some games that they won. Now, at the end of the year, Felger's right. By the end of the year, that offense looked very similar to what we see from Tom Brady. But, God, there was a 10-week, period there where it took him a while to get going.
Why don't you get on that show and straighten him out, Paul?
Because
he's probably lazy.
He's probably not, yeah.
You know what? Tell him what you did yesterday.
I'm going to be on every Wednesday. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be on for a segment. I'm going to be going into the studio on Wednesdays to do what's the matter?
I'm just thinking about the Comcast show.
Wednesdays.
I know, but this Wednesday is they're doing.
Yeah, well, we might have to do something different this week. I mean, that's beside the point. I have to do the TV show. I mean, that's priority. Yeah. That's our job.
I know.
Actually, our job is the paper.
No, but that's part of PFW.
That's like seventh on the burner.
So the plan was they wanted to start doing it in the regular season. So I'm driving to work yesterday. I'm thinking to myself, well, is this the regular season? Before the season starts? Is it before? Into the season? I don't know. And I'm thinking to myself, I probably should find out. I come over to him about 3 o'clock. I tell him this whole story. I'm like, I don't know because I never called anybody to find out.
Because he didn't really want to have to do it, so he didn't.
I wasn't really ready yet because I had so many things to do.
Got
to
get in the right frame of mind.
Hey, Eric's here. What do you got for us, Eric, before we get into picks?
Hey, Fred. Same as yesterday. Full pads, game field, no Sebastian Vollmer.
Okay.
Those are the highlights from practice.
So does this mean Nate Solder is starting
Nate Solder
at right tackle
is
going to
get
night?
The start, it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Monday night at right tackle.
Well, Paul, I recollect the conversation.
Oh, no.
I recollect the conversation.
Don't, wait a minute. I was just going to go to the bathroom, but I can't
I can't now. Are you trying
to tell me that Vollmer's not hurt? And they're just deciding to start Solder on the right side because
there's no
choice?
Way that Solder would play on the right side
without injury, and that is exactly what I said. That is word for word what I said.
What's what he said?
Come on, he didn't say that.
You weren't even there,
and he wasn't there.
Wait a minute, I need to ask a question. I thought you can only practice once a week in pads.
No, you have to. You can only have 14 full pads practices a season. 11 of them have to come in the first 11 weeks. It doesn't say. I mean, that averages to one a week, but you don't have to necessarily do that, or Bill Belichick found the loophole. If you play on Monday night, Wednesday doesn't count as a day, as I said yesterday. Either that or you can get all your 11 full pads practices done in the first 11 practices.
Right, and then never have one
And
again.
Then never have one you
or
know,
he
until...
misinterpreted the rule.
So that's it?
So Taylor Price still out there.
Yeah. Everybody out there except Vollmer. One interesting little note that I've been complaining about for years, that they don't practice tackling with the individual sleds. Guess what they're now doing with the defensive backs?
Tackling.
Now that they've gotten rid of the worst tackler in the history of football, Brandon Merriweather, they're going back to teaching football basics on how to tackle.
such an angry little
man. He really is. And it's all because of him.
Where were they practicing?
Game Field.
Is it raining?
Not anymore.
Moist?
Yeah, probably a little slick. But
it's interesting that they're playing on the game field when they're going to be on grass.
On a baseball field.
Right. On a terrible terrible field.
They got to play on clay.
Mud.
That's interesting. I don't know why they're doing
that. Maybe we should ask tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Paul went to the bathroom, and he's the keeper of the picks. So we kind of have to wait.
So read an email.
Okay.
How about you read that one again that says we're the greatest radio show around?
I could.
It's Bobby in Connecticut. You guys are the best radio show on the radio.
All right. Paul's back, and it's time to do the picks.
Oh, no, it's not, is it?
Yeah, it's 20 of 2.
There you go, Kevin. I was waiting for the
pregnant pause there.
And this really isn't a Monday Night Football game, so we've got the right music and
sort
everything.
Exactly. It's a fake Monday Night Football
game.
It's a Monday early evening
Monday doubleheader. And I'm
Helps
glad we
out,
have
though.
The early
I'm one. Glad we have the early one, too.
Right.
Me, too.
Eric, bring your bathing suit.
Of course, yes. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Your Speedo?
I don't know, no.
You and Fred gonna hug each other while body surfing?
No, it's not gonna be like that stupid beer commercial.
Now,
why do you think
that way? Why is that the first thing that comes
because
out?
Because he's closeted, that's why.
You're a Republican senator, that's what you are.
Oh, did you watch the debate last night?
Yes, I did.
It was really good.
It was good.
It was the most entertaining debate I've ever watched.
Really?
And I could eliminate four candidates right off the bat that just suck. Could you?
Probably.
Who? Go.
Bachman.
You're not the kind of picks that he
I agree.
Yeah.
Bachman, Turner, Overdrive?
I would say...
Ron Paul, come on.
Ron Paul.
I agree.
Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum.
No
kind of like him.
I would get rid of him. And I think Newt scored some good points, so you can't eliminate
him.
You
got to keep him.
Newt's time was over. He was in the
mid-90s. 999.
Rick Perry?
No. What's his name? The black guy.
I like him.
Herman Cain.
Mine are different. Huntsman, Paul, Bachman, and Rick Perry would be eliminated.
See, you got to keep Huntsman in there because he's the only one that's, you know, reasonable.
He is not reasonable. He's a dink.
Mitt Romney's not reasonable?
He's a fraud.
They're all frauds. They're called politicians.
All right. Let's see.
People won't like this show.
Let's start with tonight's game, shall we?
Tracy in Vegas is getting all upset. She's crafting an email right now.
Let's start with tonight's game.
We already made tiff
New
in Wisconsin,
Orleans
man.
At Green Bay. Paul,
you're
do you
do
have a line on that?
With Wisconsin?
Green Bay by 4.5.
Green Bay by 4.5.
Sounds like an auctioneer. I will take the Green Bay Packers, my pick to win the Super Bowl in February in Indy, to get off to a nice start. They're healthy. Aaron Rodgers will be hot. And I know everybody thinks that the Saints are this juggernaut. I think they're a good team, but I think the Packers have a pretty good defense. I think the Packers are the better, well-rounded team. The Packers are at home. The Packers win.
I like the Packers as well.
4.5.
Yeah, and cover.
Yeah, I like the Packers as well to win and cover. I think it'll be close for most of the game, but I think late Green Bay will get just enough points to go over that spread. They'll win by, I'll say, 8 points.
Oh, okay.
I like the Packers as well for the reason that Andy alluded to, the defense. I think they have a better defense, and that will keep New Orleans down a little bit. I'm going to go with the home team here and lay the points. But
you don't sound confident.
I'm not confident with the points. I think something tells me it's going to be a field goal
game.
But I like the home team in this Thursday night opener. I don't think they've lost very
many. Yeah, I go with Packers as well. I think the Saints are going to bring the heat on a lot of quarterbacks this year, but I think Rodgers is good enough to be able to handle it.
Yeah, you'll see Greg Williams woo, pumping his fists.
Next game, Sunday at 1, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. This is Paul's biggest rivalry game of the season.
This is real hatred. Baltimore by 2.5.
And you get to hear your favorite linebacker go off on these. Ray Lewis.
And when we were out there playing, everything just stopped. And I could not hear a word.
Kind of like, done yet?
Kind of like this radio show.
Sorry,
Rev Ray.
I love him. If he just didn't have that murder thing, I'm telling you.
I'm gonna go with the home team. I am gonna go with the well-rounded team right now. I have a little bit of doubts about the Steelers. I think they'll still be a good, tough, physical team. I think they have talent on both sides of the ball, but I think there's more talent on the Baltimore side of the ball. My one question. I'm still not ready to put the big boy pants on Joe Flacco, in my opinion. He scares me. But Ray Rice and those receivers matched up against the secondary of the Steelers, I think, is still a mismatch and an issue. Lee Evans will have a coming-out party, big play touchdown.
I'm going out on the limb and saying that this is the year that Joe Flacco makes the leap. It starts with beating the division rival at home, something they couldn't do last year. They're going to do it this year, start off on the right foot. Pittsburgh will end up making the playoffs, too, as the wild card. But Ravens win the division. They start by winning this game and covering.
I can't believe I picked against Mendenhall.
I agree. And, again, much like the first game, I'm just worried that Baltimore has that mental thing. They can't beat Roethlisberger. They won at Pittsburgh last year, but Roethlisberger didn't play in that game. And they haven't proven they can do it, but I think they get off to a good start, and they do it here. And I agree with Eric. I think Flacco is going to make a little bit of a step forward and be a little bit more consistent.
Numbers-wise,
he's excellent, but I think plays-wise, he's not. He's going
to
make some plays.
He needs to do the Fred Kirsch where you put your hands in your pocket and you lift those pants up over your belly and
you say,
act like a man.
Yeah, the only team that can beat Baltimore for that division is Baltimore. That's their division to be had, and it starts with beating Pittsburgh at home.
Fred thinks Pittsburgh stinks, you know. Did you know this?
They're not making the playoffs this year.
They stink, he said.
Atlanta at Chicago, Sunday at 1.
Chicago is getting 3 at home.
Chicago getting 3 against the Falcons.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
There are a handful of home.
Okay.
Handful
I'm going
of
with the
dogs.
Road team. I would have liked to have gone with the road team more had I been getting points, but I'm going to go with Big Boy Pants, Matt Ryan, and the Falcons to step up. On their way to a very good season, this would be a very good opening road win at a playoff team, a team that I think a lot of people will expect to be a playoff team again, and I hate Jay Cutler.
The Falcons are my choice to lose the Super Bowl to the Patriots.
Oh, and Jimmy! Sorry. And Jimmy will be playing.
Wow, Andy just pitched the tent.
Yeah.
They're going to start off with a nice big win in Chicago. The Falcons are much more talented, much better team all around. And the Bears have Brandon Merriweather, so that'll cost them at least 2 touchdowns. So
Jimmy
Falcons
versus
big.
Brandon? I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah.
That's a subplot
Falcons
for Patriots fans.
Big, Paul.
I think the Falcons win this game. I know that Chicago went to the NFC title game last year.
Fraudulently.
I just don't see them being this kind of team.
They're not.
Swayed by our visit to Soldier Field.
Yeah, but that was one game.
Up being swayed by those when it's supposed to be competitive.
Right, you guys
poop themselves.
Mandy Asimov was supposed to get cut after we saw him play.
I'll give you an example of a team that it didn't really sway me that year. That Arizona. I thought that was a complete mail-in job, and that I didn't think they were a great team. I didn't think they were going to go to the Super Bowl that year. But I thought
that was the team playing out of their environment. This was the team playing in their environment.
That's a good point by you. But I still
you can give a mulligan to the soft Cardinals here at Gillette.
I didn't see anything from Chicago in the other 15 games that impressed me enough to think they were a playoff team. I remember that game we watched on the road against Chicago early in the season where they gave up like 11 sacks or whatever it was.
They need to blow it up.
Good teams don't do that, and they were a good team last year. They went to the NFC title game.
And I'll prove it to you. Brandon Merriweather got $1 million signing bonus and a $2.25 million salary.
Yeah.
That's a $3.25 million cap number this year in Chicago. You could have traded for him with a cap number of like $1 million. Why did you add $1.25 million, Jerry Angelo? You're an idiot.
Anyway, I'm taking Atlanta.
This is my upset of the week. Chicago wins this game. It doesn't hurt.
Doesn't
hurt Atlanta over the course of the season, but it is a little wake up call. Everybody's talking about Atlanta as the pick in the
since Jimmy
NFC.
Got there.
Chicago gives them a little bit of a wake-up call.
Except for Eric. You picked them, right?
What?
Atlanta, you picked.
Oh, everyone's picking Atlanta.
No, everybody's picking
everybody's
Green
picking
Bay and
the
New
Saints
Orleans.
To win that division.
It's Green Bay and New Orleans are the two teams that people expect to buy.
And don't forget the Dream Team.
Okay.
Oh, I did forget the Dream Team. I actually read a story that said the
unquestioned
favorites.
I haven't seen a lot of teams, but people
for the
Atlanta.
Super Bowl, and I'm like, nobody's picking Philly to win the Super Bowl. There's more people picking
Packers, we got to kind of hurry.
Patriots, Saints.
Yeah, I know. We only have 20 minutes.
We can go as long as we want.
We can't. John Rook
will tell him to wait out there.
Can you imagine?
12 minutes. Go.
Cincinnati at Cleveland.
Oh, this is the game of the day. Browns by 6.5. Think about how bad the Bengals are. They're underdogs by 6.5 to Cleveland.
I'm gonna go.
You don't live in Cleveland.
John Rook's boy, Colt McCoy. He showed me a little something last year. I like them. I'll pick the Browns to win a few games. Peyton Hillis, not yet worn down. Cover boy.
Yeah.
Jinx doesn't hit yet.
Yeah.
Browns win.
Yeah.
Bengals blow.
Oh,
and Andy Dalton sucks.
Yeah, he does. AJ Green's gonna have himself a little bit of a day, but Colt McCoy, Peyton Hillis, the Browns are at home. I like them to win the division game. Pretty handily at home.
Yeah, I'm going to make it unanimous. I like the Browns too, but it's based more on the Bengals.
Browns as well.
No, I meant with us.
Oh, okay.
Browns as well.
He totally disregards Fred's pick as irrelevant.
Right. No, I don't, Fred. Don't listen to their tomfoolery.
1 o'clock, Indy at Houston.
The Texans by 8.5 over the Peyton-less Colts.
I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. I was hoping this would be the year they'd break through anyway. And since now Kerry Collins is playing, and actually right now he's starting the delivery on his first pass, the windup, I'm guessing he'll throw a couple picks. Kerry Collins loses. Thanks for playing.
Pick sixes, even.
Word.
And I'm going to go Texans.
Jonathan Joseph.
Triple-digit win. 21 points, I think, over the Peyton-less Colts.
How is 21 fans. Points triple digits?
Triple scores, I meant. Triple scores is what I meant. Sorry.
I like Houston
He's
in
very
the
critical.
He said triple digits. I like Four Houston
words,
in the
Paul.
Game.
Mayo.
And we still make fun of that. And rightly so. But I will take the points. 8.5 is a lot of points. And Arian Foster's iffy for this game. I think that Indy will keep it close and lose. But
better chance. Arian Foster has 1,200 yards this year or less than 500?
1,200. I do want to add one more shot at Mike Felger.
So mad
can I add, you know, based on your whole Kerry Collins is just starting his windup now.
He does do that.
Yeah, that's Felger's big thing. Kerry Collins, he stinks. He has that big windup.
Stink.
Has that big windup. He can't play.
He does. Well, he
but
can.
Who? But who can play? Who's his God? His unproven quarterback that is going to be God someday. Tim Tebow.
Oh my God.
The epitome of why Felger's a fraud. Kerry Collins can't play because of his long windup. Tim Tebow's going to win, quote, a lot of games in the National Football League.
Hasn't Kerry Collins thrown for like 47,000 yards?
Go ahead, Fred.
All right. Just because he's been I'm going to take the so points long. To Houston wins,
good.
But I'll take the points.
Yeah. He has, yeah.
Took a couple of teams.
To the Super Bowl.
Sunday at 1.
Solid NFC career. Title game.
Solid career.
NFC title game. Had the Titans at like 14 wins or whatever it was a couple years ago.
13. But yeah, they were number one seed.
He's very anal. I say 40.
13, actually.
Yeah. Tennessee to get it right. At Jacksonville.
I'm backing your point.
Tennessee at Jacksonville.
Jacksonville by 2 at home.
Wow, what a terrible football game. I will go with... Who's starting for Tennessee?
I believe Hasselbeck.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'll go with Tennessee.
Stop that.
Chris, stop what?
Banging the table.
Banging the table.
Oh.
This is like when he farts and burps and doesn't think anybody can hear
it. Is Chris Johnson playing?
I don't know.
I would imagine.
Okay, I'll go with Tennessee, thanks. What's the spread?
2?
You're getting 2.
Oh, nice.
Titans, yeah. I'm picking them, too. Yeah, in the upset. I had a tough time picking this game for the paper, because I don't like either team really all that much. But gut feeling says the Titans.
I didn't have a tough time picking this game because I think Jacksonville is going to be one of the worst three teams in football, and especially after getting rid of Garrard. And I think that Mike Munchak is going to do a nice job in Tennessee. I like some of the things that I'm reading about him. Haven't seen it all yet, but. I think Tennessee wins this game. I think they're a better team.
I think it's a consensus. We're all taking Tennessee. Buffalo at Kansas City.
Kansas City by 6.
By Kansas City by more than 6.
Yeah.
They may have a letdown year. This won't be the letdown. KC at home's a good bet. Picking against the Bills, good bet. Makes this game a good bet to go with the Chiefs.
I like the guy you were talking about earlier, Matt Castle. I think he'll have himself a nice day. Give Chiefs fans a little maybe overconfidence to start the season because it's against the Bills, but they'll win by comfortable double digits.
I like Kansas City as well, but I will take the points. Buffalo tends to play well early in the season, loses a lot of close games early in the season. I think they'll do that here to open it up.
I'm going to go KC both ways here. Next, still at 1 o'clock, Philadelphia at St. Louis.
The Bradford's getting 5 at home.
The Bradford's going to need more than 5 if they want to win this football game. A lot of talent on that Eagles roster, a lot of athletes that can make plays. I'd love to pick the Rams, but I cannot. I will take the Eagles to win and cover.
This is going to be my upset special of the day. I will go with the Samfords to win this game.
Okay.
You see what I did? Sam and Bradford?
I see what you did there. It's the Samchise.
I know. That's what you call them.
Not caught on anywhere yet?
No. Nope.
I'm going to go with the Eagles. I am not sold on them as this dream team. They have major problems in the offensive line, but I think they find a way to get it done here in St. Louis.
Both of these clowns changed their pick from the paper.
Yeah, I'm going to go with St. Louis in this
game.
Did
I go with Philly
home
in the paper?
Team.
Yeah,
and he went with the Rams.
They get off on the right foot.
I picked the Rams.
It says Rams.
That's a typo.
says right like here. 8 letters different.
They had the... Remember, she put him in this week with both teams, and I just erased the wrong one.
He's covering his bases for
I'm telling you, I meant to pick Philadelphia. That's a bad.
Anybody notice that this new photo of me in the paper looks like I have Bell's palsy?
Yeah.
That's what Morris said.
Why? If terrible. If Philadelphia wins, can I take credit for that?
No, now
yes, you're going to take credit for everything.
No, I can't.
You said you won the picks contest last year when I won.
Right. I believe you came in last.
Detroit
at Tampa?
Yeah, the final Sunday at one game, Detroit at Tampa Bay.
Bucks, I'm sorry, Bucks favored by two.
The blacked
really?
Out.
Are they really?
Oh!
Blacked out game of the
no
weekend?
Way. No, no,
jeez,
no,
I
no,
can't
no.
imagine. 10-6 team favored over 6-10 team.
Well, they were fraudulent 10-6.
Who right? cares? I'll take the Lions to win on the road. Coming out party for Schwartzy, Stafford, Calvin Johnson and crew.
Yeah.
Winning by the Bay.
Stafford and Johnson are going to light it up. They're going to win big time down there in Tampa. Tampa's going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Sue might break Johnson in half.
Not so fast, my friends. Bucks win handily. Oh.
Really?
Oh.
Is that what you really handily. Want to say, or is that
Listen,
a fight?
Now, why do you
the
say
Lee Corso of our group
paper?
Here.
We don't really have a lot of time, but
I hope
why
you pick
you
the other
that?
One. I hope you pick the Lions.
Okay. I'm going to go with
I think the
Detroit.
Lions are going to be improved. I think that secondary is awful. I think that defense is, if they don't, you know, you talk about the defense, that if it doesn't get to the quarterback, they're going to have a hard time.
Right,
I think they'll
Detroit.
Be improved. I don't think they're a playoff team. Tampa Bay was on the cusp of being a playoff team a year ago.
They're lucky SOBs.
Okay, 4-15, Carolina
you do,
at
Detroit.
Yeah, go Detroit. Carolina at Arizona, another barn burner. Cam Newton
Arizona
starting?
By seven.
Yes, Cam yep. Newton making his
yes,
NFL
Ron
debut.
Rivera.
Falls flat on his face.
Mm. I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals. They're the better all-around team. And Cam will be exposed for what he is, an athlete, not a quarterback at this point in his NFL career. He will struggle, throw three interceptions, and, you know, I don't know.
Kevin Cobb for Arizona is going to have an impressive debut
like
with the Cardinals. They're going to win very big because I'm not a believer in Cam Newton. He's going to be terrible.
I think Cam Newton will be fine, but not, you know, not going to show up in a lot of wins because that's a very bad football team. Arizona wins big.
I got to go with Arizona as well. Minnesota at San Diego. Minnesota at San Diego.
San Diego by 8.5.
8.5.
San Diego wins and covers. Enough said.
I'm sorry.
Jordan Todman, late TD.
San Diego over, who do we have there, Paul?
Minnesota.
Yeah, I like San Diego in this game. Double-digit win as well.
Not triple,
not
though?
Triple-digit?
Not triple.
I'm falling right into my San Diego Chargers trap. They lose the first 8 games of the year every year anyway, but I'm going to pick them to not only
not
win but
year.
Cover. I'm laying 8.5.
Yeah, I'm
Oddman bringing winning ways to the West Coast.
I'm going to pick them to win, but I'll take the P's.
Dartmouth High, he took him to the Super Bowl. UConn, he took him to a BCS game. San Diego, he takes him to a Super Bowl.
In 4 years, maybe.
3, it took him in. BCS.
Why are you talking so fast?
Sunday at 4:15.
That's what he does. How much time left?
Seattle at San Francisco.
Niners by 5.5.
Ugly game.
Yeah.
Terrible game.
I'm going to take the Niners to win because they're at home.
That's my only
but
reason.
But it's a terrible game, so I'll take the points as well.
What were the point totals again on that one?
5.5.
5.5.
No, I'll take the Niners to win and cover. It's going to be a terrible game. They'll win by a touchdown, though.
I will take the Niners, and like Andy, I'll take the points.
This is where I win the week. Seattle wins this game.
Why?
Because he's picking differently than the
San
rest
Francisco
of us.
San Francisco is thinking about Andrew Luck.
Because Pete Carroll once said hi to him.
Who's the quarterback for the Seahawks?
Yeah, he's all pumped and jacked. You know,
it's that guy.
What guy?
The guy that they just got.
From who?
Where?
You know.
Come on.
They brought him over Josh Freeman.
Oh.
No, not Josh. I mean, not Josh Freeman.
We're making generalizations now? Are you talking about Sean Hill? Who are you trying to talk about?
No, no, no.
Who are you talking about?
They are not all the same, Fred.
What's the name of the guys?
Tavares Jackson.
Right.
Did you mean Randall Cunningham or
no.
Doug Williams?
Culpepper. Seattle wins the game.
John got so disgusted he took his headphones
right.
off. He's
yeah.
leaving again.
He hasn't even gotten started.
Is he going to throw him like he did the other day?
Sunday 4:15.
I'm sorry. He went to get a cookie. He wanted a cookie.
Andy.
Those support Susan Comey.
They're disgusting.
Is that what they are?
They're chocolate.
Oh, pass that over.
Fred with the dry. Those support Susan Comey.
Okay. Andy doesn't like them.
I think they're really good, Eric.
I'm going to try some of those.
Really good. Very good.
Giants at Washington. This is a 4:15 game.
Eric struggling to
reach
a box.
At home, getting 3 points. And now he'll say, what was the spread? Who's playing?
Giants at Washington.
Quickly.
Can't say it now.
Quickly.
I don't know the game or the points.
Giants at Washington, Skins getting 3.
Skins, that's not enough points. They're going to be a bad football team.
G-Man.
All these people telling me that they're going to be better than people expect, I don't buy it. I don't like their quarterback. I don't like their coach. I don't like their talent. And the Giants are a pretty good football team.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants are a great football team. I think they're a better football team than the Redskins. So I'll
that's all that matters, really.
That's right. That's all that matters. And they're going to be the better team this Sunday.
They play the games.
I like the Giants. All those injuries piling up are a major concern. But I like the Giants team. And early in the season, they generally play well.
They do.
Giants, yeah. They always choke down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants
except
as well.
Except in 07.
Dallas.
Touche.
When it was the ultimate non-choke.
This is Sunday night, 8:20. Dallas at the New Jersey Jets.
Jets by 4.5.
A matchup of the Ryan brothers, the little freaky freaky and the freaky freaky bro. I am going to go with the Dallas Cowboys to make Fred Ooh. Very happy.
Oh, that would.
Rob to win the battle of the Ryans.
That would.
And the Cowboys make a lot of plays on offense to win
big. I picked Dallas in the paper, didn't I?
Real quick check. The Jets in the paper, Eric.
Oh, I did?
Typo.
All right.
I'll go with a typo.
No, I'll take the Jets to win this game.
Well, who do you think is going to win?
I'll take the Jets.
He won't answer that because no matter what, he's going to have an out now.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets. I hate those 4.5s. I'll lay the points, but not feel good about it. I think the Jets will win the game, but it'll be a field goal game.
Yeah, I mean, that Dallas offense, I think the Jets just stifle them. I think the Jets win. Unfortunately, but I'll be rooting for Dallas.
He said with utter disgust.
Oakland at Denver, Monday night, 10:15, the late game.
Broncos by 3.
I am going to go with the Oakland Football Raiders to win at Denver. Big game for Darren McFadden, a lot of big plays.
Two rookie head coaches, new systems. I'll take the Denver Broncos to win the game. What's the points again, Paul?
3.
They'll cover.
Yeah, I am right in line with Andy. I think Darren McFadden is the difference in the game, and Oakland wins.
Do you do that? Do you sometimes just say it's a crappy game, and I'll take the best player on the field?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do that sometimes.
Yes.
John Rook said yes with a cookie in his mouth.
Yeah, I'll go with Denver.
Supporting the Susan G. Coleman Fund.
They are delicious.
I'll go with Denver in this game. And finally, because John Rook's chomping at the bit to get going here.
Literally.
The Patriots.
We were going to make you wait behind the glass, you know.
Travel to Miami for a 7 o'clock Monday night affair.
Pats by 7.
Pats by 7 in Miami.
Pats win big. Coming out party for this offense. Young tight ends each find the end zone. And the defense creates not one, not two, not three, but 4 turnovers in a coming out party. Well, you know, or
sacks,
Bush,
interceptions.
Or the balls will be everywhere in this game, and Mayo will get his hands on a lot of balls.
Very excited. Yep.
Fergie doing the national anthem beforehand.
Is she?
Liking her to get her hand on. She has to turn it around.
My fin will be up if she's singing.
Yeah, that's right.
Patriot
will be my dorso fin. It'll be my torso fin.
You know what I'm saying, John?
Oh, wah, wah,
one thing I know it won't be is a great white.
Oh.
Ooh.
He's just so proud of himself. Patriots by 10.
I like the Patriots, too. I think it'll be a fairly close game into the third quarter. And I don't know how many turnovers it's going to be, but I think Andy's right.
Not one, not two,
I
not
was
three.
Doing my LeBron
I know what
James.
You were doing.
Okay, it's
Miami.
South Beach. It's Miami.
You're taking your turnovers to South Beach.
John,
I know what you're doing.
You got to take them to the water. You got to push
exactly,
their face in the water.
I said, I don't know how many.
You're going to drown them in the water.
Like Andy predicted, 4 is what I was starting to say. I knew exactly what you were doing there, guy.
Sure.
I think that a key Henny pick, maybe mid, late third quarter, allows the Patriots to separate themselves. And
by
they
McCourty?
Win by 14.
Captain McCourty?
31-17 final.
I will go with Paul. I think that the Patriots win this one eventually handily. So
eventually,
John, you want to weigh in?
Eventually handily. Actually, I do
nice
like the Patriots right now, but I'm right now taking the Fins to cover the 7.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition.
He's just wanting stuff to cover.
He just wants
to
have edition of playbook.
His ammo for Nitpick Tuesday
All right.
or Wednesday.
Got ahead. It'll be Wednesday next week.
Don't
Wednesday.
Forget, pregame social 2 hours before the game Monday night.
Be there.
John Rook is up on deck.
So 4:45.
And then B-Lo
645?
Does his first B-Lo fantasy lowdown with
Pete Shepard
at 4 o'clock. So a lot still to come here on Patriots.com Radio.
We're fighting in the streets with our children at our feet.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.